You're listening to Rugby League on Proper Sport.
Well, that's a good start. I've broken it, Ledge. I've broken it, and I don't know what to do now. You're talking. We're actually on the radio now, and you're like not even on the microphone. Do you know what you're doing in this studio? Something's gone badly wrong here. Who is it? Is lifting the Challenge Cup? But that is about as far as we'll go. That's nearest Leeds are going to get to it, Phil. It's not even inflated. That's how rubbish Leeds are. We won't bother with a big intro. We'll just crack on. It's that time of week again. Six until eight here on Proper Sport. We're about the Bradford Bulls knocked off the top. Leon Price will be banned from Bradford now, won't he, Leon? He was looking forward to it at the weekend. Workington do the double over the Bradford Bulls. Just to put it into context, the Bulls are 3 wins in front of Workington. I wonder what the difference is in terms of money being spent there. Big wins in the Super League sets. Back to winning ways. Disappointment for Wakefield. We'll get Scottish thoughts on that. He was there, seen pictured holding 2 chip butties in his hand. Catalan, they tossed it in ahead of their trip to Wembley at the weekend as they were well beaten by Wigan. Saints beat Wakefield, as we said. Huddersfield, touching distance now of the top 4, just 4 points behind. Can they close the gap on the boys at the top? Warrington beaten at Cass, the Wembley, pre-Wembley weekend. A bit of a washout for Warrington and for the Catalan Dragons. What about in the qualifiers? Leeds, big winners as we expected at London. I think that's another one Scoey got wrong. Salford win again over Widnes. Will Widnes just give up? Just do us a favour and give up. Oh, sorry, they already have done. Toronto beaten by Hull Kingston Rovers. Toulouse beat Halifax in the qualifiers. And the big news, as we said, in League One, York City Knights, top of the pile. 4 more wins, they will be promoted to the Championship. The legend is here, Richard Shawright is here, Phil Kaplan is here. We're all full of Wembley cheer. We can't wait. Wembley this week. And you still haven't blown your trophy.
Can't.
Never mind.
That's why I was.
It's
only why it was a 99p on eBay. You can't blow it up.
At RL on RY, if you want to get in touch on Twitter, you can message us via Facebook.
99p on eBay, just like a Challenge Cup final
just
ticket.
Just like a ticket. We're all going.
Mr. Wilson, first of all, I want you Widnes fans to come on. Come on, tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. Mr. Hamlin, where are you? There's no letters this week in the League Express. Come on, Widnes fans. Tell me that you're a good side. Widnes fans, tell me you're bringing something to Super League. Because I'll tell you what, there's not only me saying it now, everybody's saying it, Widnes. You're bringing absolutely nothing to Super League. Come on, let me know if you disagree.
I'd be amazed if anyone gets in touch, because they can't get in touch because they are rubbish.
Mate, did you see that performance?
No, I
did
you see that performance? I was working, actually.
And do you know what as well, Mark, and I say, because at the end of the day, you know, players don't make coaches, it's the players who make the coaches, but boy, oh boy, as I mentioned to the lads before you came in, mate, is that I know when I was at Huddersfield, when them players were hired, and, you know, as a professional sportsman, certainly when you're coaching these professional sportsmen, you expect them to be able to do the basics. And there's nothing wrong with the youngsters at Widnes from there, you know, because they're giving it all. They're giving it the desire. They're giving it the purpose. But they're wanting some experience around them. And them experience around them are absolutely useless. You look at some of the mistakes, what they are making. You can't blame the coach for that. No way made. I looked at that pass from Harrison Hanson to Doutson. I look at how Chris... Houston's playing.
Come in, Houston.
Honestly, I've got 2 grandsons, 1 at 5 and 1 at nearly 2 years of age. Who could do better? Honestly, you know, and do you know what, Mark, as well? The fact of the matter is, these guys will get another job somewhere because clubs will take these journeymen on. They're bringing absolutely nothing to the game. And clubs will take these journeymen on. It's pathetic.
It was the senior players. That was a surprise. You know, Widnes said it's a real shame that Ollie Ashall-Bott got injured, which it is because he's a talent, but clearly you can't invest in a teenager who's played a handful of first-team games to be your saviour. It's all of the guys who are either retiring or know that they're moving on or who have been bought in to bolster the side. The senior guys that they need to dig them out of the hole, none of them did it on Saturday afternoon.
None of them have done it for a long time, Phil. They've been ordinary for a long... I can't believe this is a side that put 40-odd points on Catalan in the opening week of the season. What has gone so badly wrong for the Widnes Vikings? They are 2 defeats from 2. They are staring down the barrel, mainly thanks to, you know, results elsewhere as well. They almost can't afford to lose another game, you feel.
Yeah, and having not won one in, what is it, 18 now?
18.
They're not going to suddenly put five wins together, which they need to get them out of trouble.
No, they're not.
The best they can hope for is being in a £1 million game.
Yeah. Rich, are you well?
Yeah, although I don't know what the Twitter password is these days, so I'm just asked Tom to tell me what it is. I'm confused, not overly confused, but Adam has messaged on Facebook. Tom's realised I've messaged him now. Hi, says Adam. I think Leeds United will win the championship this season. I have a funny feeling it will be our year. Adam, we talk rugby league here on Mondays. You need Radio Leeds. Unless they're busy interviewing Katie Hopkins, they'll be talking about football for the next hour.
All right.
Until I think it's the 8th of September. It's
hold on. Anyway, I did need to raise this subject, actually, because it's been brought to my attention. Not only was Shaw Wright on the BBC two weeks ago?
With a suit on.
Yeah, I'm wearing that again at Wembley.
Phil Kaplan was on the BBC this week. Are you going to be presenting Songs of Praise next week, Scoey? Is that how it's work? Have you been offered a gig by the BBC? Because it seems everyone else in our team has.
Well,
you know.
Are we all free lunch?
Take it as a compliment. Yeah. Perform well week in, week out.
Mark, everybody's heard me sing. I don't think I'll be getting a gig on Songs of Praise, do you? To be honest with you.
I don't know.
I won't be sure. I'm going down London on Thursday, so I don't think I'll be in good singing voice come Sunday, to be honest.
You might be better. I've heard you sing, don't forget. That will be interesting. Richard seems to have brought the internet, which is always a bit of a concern.
It's concerning. But it's been an exciting weekend of... League One was exciting.
It was. Well, let's talk about the qualifiers. Come on, let's get ripped in. Let's get what the fans... Salford, they seem to be saving their own skins. Mm. What do we make of them?
Well, and I say, it all seems to be down to one man, doesn't it? Jackson Hastings, he's certainly turned it around from there. He's brought that composure, brought that quality of what they had been missing, and he's bringing the best out of Robert Lowe. He's getting back to his best, isn't he? The forwards are laying a platform, but you know, at the end of the day, you know, against a poor Widnes side, they didn't really have to do a great lot to break him down. But they're playing with confidence. Watson's getting a reaction from him. They've responded to that quality around from there in Hastings, and yeah, they're going to survive. They're not going to be in a £1 million game. I think my top three will be Leeds, Salford, and Hull KR. I reckon the £1 million game is going to be either between Toronto, Toulouse, and London, and the rest you can forget from there. So, yeah, Hastings has brought that composure, that quality, what were required before the end of the season.
Question about Salford for next year. Obviously, bringing in Jackson Hastings was to keep them in Super League.
You think he'll stay full?
Well, I'm going to say bringing in Joey Lussick, who was his hooker in the reserve grade at the Roosters, makes perfect sense. Firm up the spine of your team. Can they afford to keep them next year? Because if they can't, and I know that he's in the trade papers today saying he'd like to stay, but it will come down to money, and he won't be cheap. He clearly won't be, because he's a good player that most other NRL clubs would, I think, have on their books, even if he wasn't a first choice. I know that he's got some issues of where he's been in the past. It might not be all his fault, falling out with teammates. It could have been that they fell out with him. But he's clearly a talent. But if Salford can't afford to retain Jackson Hastings and maybe Joey Lussick and maybe keep hold of a Robert Louis, Niall Evelds, are they going to be the winners next year? Are we just delaying the inevitable? Do we not need to know, not we, but do the Salford fans not need to know what the plan is for Salford, assuming that they stay?
Is Marwan still involved there? Because he was there on the sidelines again at the end of the game. Is he still involved somewhere?
He's paid for the players.
Yeah, he's paid for them, yeah, so obviously he's still got a massive involvement then.
Yeah, I mean, how quite how that works, I don't know. But
it's like a silent partner in business, then, is that how it's working?
No. I suspect commercially he is paying for those two players to be there to ensure their Super League status. But I think he's made it quite clear that he's not going to be around to do that next year.
Yeah.
This is part of his transition out of the club. We've heard the expectations and hopes of some of the people that now run it. We've heard that there might be other investors prepared to come on board. But surely they need to sign up these players that are keeping them in Super League. Otherwise, we have another potential winners on our hands.
Yeah, but also as well, though, Phil, to be honest with you, Hastings and Lizick, if the bigger boys come knocking on the door, they'll move, won't they? Simple as that.
You'd think so.
Are we worried by the general state of the game at the moment? Because we've seen Lee, their owner, is walking away. That means they're going to be a completely different entity next season. Featherstone, Garth Hock being released today, you would expect more will be going, given the fact that Mark Campbell, to be fair, has paid for a very good squad, got a very good squad. I wonder if he's regretting getting rid of John Sharp at the minute, but That's happened. Do we expect there to be big changes there? Widnes, if they're to be relegated, they're not going to be able to bankroll a team that's going to come try and come straight back up. It seems that the old boom and bust that we didn't used to have, we've now got.
It's the boom and bust we've always had with relegation. That is one of the
things that's what I mean.
Clubs and boom and bust come with relegation. The bigger issue is we are told that within the next week or so there'll be some announcement of an agreement of how the structure is going to look next year. And you would hope going on at least until 2021.
My understanding, it's 12 teams play each other once, 5 loop fixtures, they play 29 games.
Which raises
one up, one down.
Immediately the question how you can have relegation with loop fixtures.
What are loop fixtures, if you don't mind me asking?
Just so
you play one.
Wakefield play 5 more games against whoever.
So you play somebody 3 times instead of 2.
Yeah.
But who you play and where you play them will have a bearing on the final league
standard. Yeah, well, when's that going to be decided?
Well, I presume there'll be some method put in place or some draw done. And
what's the incentive of the Championship and League One clubs to agree to that, though? Because unless there is agreement, it can't happen.
Well, quite clearly, Rob Elston said that they're near an agreement, so they clearly are near an agreement, aren't they?
Yeah, but also
if you believe the people on the other side of that negotiation table.
Exactly, because if you look at the league, especially what Chalmers is proposing, you know, it's still wide open, isn't it? Or is it? Or is it a closed shop?
I think the other issue
it's
about
not a closed shop, you still get promotion, but then what do you get in the Championship? Do you just get one team tries to buy a way into Super League, or is it going to be straight the one up, or is there going to be playoffs to get up, or how are they going to do it?
But aren't we again creating policy on the hoof? That I think we're all agreed around the table that whatever the structure is, and none of us have got the answer, it needs to be in for 20 years. Again, we're saying let's get something in inside a week so we know what we're doing next year, and then if it all goes wrong like the 8 seem to have done, we'll change it again. It's all expediency, and we've got to get away from that, decide what we want to be, how we're going to get there. Had the most enjoyable trip to London yesterday.
Yeah.
Met some great people, some of whom tune into the show, and good evening to them. They asked if we would say hello and thank you for your support.
Good stuff.
Great feel about it.
Didn't you say, sorry, I'm working for the BBC?
No, they all wanted to know where Scoey was, just so that they could not buy him a
drink. I bumped into a Scoey fan yesterday. I went to the women's game.
Oh, no, I didn't
game.
Say they were fans.
St Helens Wigan. I think it was Paul, the chap's name. If it wasn't, I apologise. This is to the podcast on a Tuesday, so I'm have to try and remember and edit it out if that bit's wrong, but never mind. And he said he enjoys the legend. He loves him saying it how it is.
Well,
I called the medics and Paul was escorted off accordingly.
Paul, Saints fan, thanks very much. And also to the London fan, I was asking Phil how I was, yeah. So I can reassure you, London fans, I'm going to come down.
You know why
I'm
asking how you walk? He's got a Schofield voodoo doll and he's been stabbing it for the last 3 years.
London
and he's wondering
fans,
why not happening.
London fans, I'll get in contact with Danny Ward and I promise you, I'll come down next season. I'll have the afternoon out with your home game. I'll stay over and we'll have a great night. I promise you, London fans, I'll be down there.
There was a great community feel about it. I know they were hoping to get a couple of thousand people in, their biggest crowd at Trailfinders, just short of that. But good atmosphere, lovely sunny day, barbecues.
Did Leeds take many?
Yeah, quite a lot. Yeah, they were at both ends. And I just you looked at it and thought, what is this game missing at the moment? Forget teams, forget structure, but what do we need? What are the two most pressing issues that rugby league faces at the moment? One is it has no profile.
Yeah.
Well, I think you have to have a presence in London. That if you are going to get in touch with the national media editors, that's where they're based. Things that happen in London make the news. And with the greatest respect to what we do up here, it's, you know, if it rains in London, it's a national story. If it rains up here, you deserve it. So, you know, if you're going to be serious about profile, you have to be close to the head of the media.
So how are we going to do that? How are we going to do that in London then, Phil? We've been down 35, 36 years now.
Have we done it right?
How are we going to bring that presence and purpose with London then?
Right.
How are we going to do that?
The first thing is profile. We'll get on to how you do it in a minute. The second thing is participation. We need more people playing the game who are going to end up being quality players.
Right.
The game before the Leeds Broncos game was the London Academy against the City of Hull Academy. London won. They were really, really good. They've got some quality youngsters. Then the London first team playing. People like Alex Walker looks really good. Matt Davis, who's going to Warrington, really good. Kieran Dixon had one of Kieran Dixon's games. It was either Rocks or Diamonds. But it was his 100th game for London, the club that, you know, found him. There is a load of talent down there. And it would be criminal of us not to look at a place like London and say, what does the sport need to do over the next 20 years, irrespective of anything else to make London important again to the sport? So the answer isn't necessarily what the league structure is, but we need to put a focus on what's happening in London and make it a centre of excellence for the sport. At the moment, we know that State of Origin, which is one of the biggest properties the sport of rugby league has got globally, is looking for a third venue for the next few years while Sydney stadiums are being rebuilt. So we've seen a game in Melbourne, there's a game going to Adelaide, tickets are already virtually sold out for Perth. If we had a plan of what we were doing with London, somewhere within that plan in 5 years' time or 8 years' time would be an invitation to the NRL to bring a State of Origin game to London. We're looking at internationals that are coming up. You know, we've got a World Cup in 2021. Should we be already announcing what game we are taking to London? I understand there is a process and 80% of the games have got to be staged in the north of England, but there is going to be some matches in London. Don't we need to put tickets on sale for that now? So what I'm saying is it's not necessarily about loop fixtures. It's about what do we want to be as a sport. And there was something there at London that I hadn't seen 2 years ago. Exactly the same game in the qualifiers on the field. You know, it followed the same pattern. But off the field, there was more of a vibrancy. And you looked at the audience as well. It's younger than we tend to see at grounds up here. There's a core of guys that you and women that you see every time you go to them. It's lovely to see them again. But they've got a new, young audience. The ground that they've got is clearly not fit for Super League purpose. So do we speak to the owners at Trailfinders and say, if London were to be in Super League on merit or as part of a future franchise, if that's what we're going to go down, what is your commitment to the sport of rugby league? Because it's not about David Hughes so much anymore. Because if London got into Super League, David Hughes wouldn't have to buy a team. It would come from the television money. The guy who owns the facility, which is the main thing, is the bloke from Trailfinders. Mm. So should we not, as a game, be speaking to him and saying, look, what are your plans for your club that plays rugby union at championship level? And obviously you are the tenant of the Broncos. So lots of beer was drunk yesterday. It was a hot day. £4 for an ice cream. Nobody bought one of those.
Yeah, Nigel just said, who's going to pay £4 for a 99 at London?
Well, London people might, because it might be cheap. But
tell you what, London fans, I'm not coming down. I'm not coming. 99p? £4 for a 99? I'm not coming.
But London at the moment don't get any revenues from those bars because it goes to Trailfinders. So, you know, if we're serious as a sport, don't let's do what we've done with David Hughes for 20 years and say, keep throwing £1 million in. So after he's put £20 million in. What has he got for that investment? Nothing. Let's say, what do we want to be as a sport? Speak to the people down there that can make it happen. And there are some really good things going on in London at the moment. And that should be part of the discussion about what we want the sport to look like. Not, let's have some loop fixtures, which didn't work last time.
Yeah, rubbish. What do you think, Rich?
I think the next issue of 4020 magazine, you should give every one of your columnists a page to their structure, because that's the best thing we can do now.
We've missed the point. It's not about the structure.
But also, Ellen, for you talking about the game down in London itself. Wigan took a game down in London last year. Mm. They haven't done it this year.
Well, it was two years ago.
And
they supposedly got 9,000-10,000 people. Mm.
So why haven't they
gone back?
Yeah, exactly.
What is the plan?
Why haven't they done it again?
Well, and in the same,
because obviously they didn't get what they wanted out of it, surely.
But you can't get what you want out of it if you only do something once.
Right, so, but what I'm saying is here, Wigan, who were literally, the biggest club in the game, with Leeds, if they can't draw people, how can London do it themselves after they've been involved for the last, 35, 36 years?
Because if you only do something once, there's no point doing it. What is going to happen in Australia next year? We've seen Wigan and Hull go over there. What was the point of that if we'd never do it again?
Yeah, but Phil, we're talking about London here, who've been part of the game for 36 years.
Yeah, but we haven't.
They've had
done
how many
right?
different grounds? Nine different venues.
Because we haven't done it right.
So you think it could be done right now, do you?
I think there's the seed there of something. But right. If we just do what we've always done, we'll be going, it's 35 years since we did something. And in fact, it's not, because we first went to London in the 1930s. We had two teams in the Rugby Football League in 1934, 35. They disbanded and all the best players went to the clubs up here. If we still want to do that for the next 70, 80 years, fine, but actually there's a really good reason why London is important at the moment, and say that's profile for the sport, which you probably do have to have London in Super League to even get people interested. There were a couple of local reporters there, which was good. But I think
what about all our national press? Were they all there?
Some were, but most were in France.
All right, jolly up. Did you get invited to France at the weekend?
No.
Did you, Rich?
No.
Hey, had I gone on you, if no. I got invited, no, I'd have gone, to be honest. Had I gone?
Yeah.
Because I tell you what, mate, right, I tell you, there's nobody more supportive and bigger who supports the Challenge Cup than me. As I keep saying, the Challenge Cup is the biggest cup competition in world rugby.
Yeah, what they want to do is someone who's actually won it.
That's a bit harsh, isn't it? Oh, you're always... Oh.
The problem is all these media cheerleaders.
You're always picking on me nowadays, Mr.
Not
Wilson.
Not picking on you. You're just merely pointing out a fact, I think you'll find.
Brian Carney said it's all these media cheerleaders, which was funny for someone talking on Sky Sports about that. But I don't want to burn those bridges, because, you know, one day, you never know.
You've got a suit, will travel.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Robert, had really enjoyable time at London. Hope they get into Super League. Joe was at London yesterday. So friendly and brilliant day out, to be honest. Be nice to see them back in Super League. Elsewhere, Kev, on promotion of the game or lack of it, I get emails from off Ticketmaster about sporting occasions that are happening all over the autumn winter period. You name it, every sport in the world has been promoting their events. That is bar one. You've guessed it, that is Rugby League. He said nothing for the RFL about the Challenge Cup final, grand final, and blah blah blah. You must not have signed up, Kev, because I get emails all the time. Come to Wembley, please. Come to Wembley, please. not like that. I'm joking. I don't want to get banned.
There'll be 50,000 though.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. That's what will be announced.
Yeah, but how many will be there?
There'll be 50,000 there, because that's what will be announced.
Gavin says, the biggest thing that Super League needs is all games televised and at least one a week on terrestrial TV. Which channel? Mm-hmm. Which channel?
Is that relevant, or...?
Well, it is, because Free Sports is a terrestrial TV channel, and I know for a fact that they got less than 6,000 people watching an amateur game.
All right, okay.
Last week. So... As I've said before, the problem with our sport is, outside of Super League, we've got no strategy for our media rights whatsoever. Mm. Hence why we swooped in for the Bulls thing, we as in Proper Sport. Hence why there's other things going on.
Yeah.
And there's no joined up thinking, to use an awful business threat. I'm like, I'm on The Apprentice, I should be back on Radio Leeds. there's no joined up plan for what we're doing outside Super League. Or Toronto can have their games on. Well, they can't now because they're in the eights, but they can the rest of the time. But we don't want Toronto in Super League anyway, because the pitch is full of lines.
So yeah, that's
like,
the latest one.
It's like watching
one.
A test card.
That's the latest one.
Although the test largest crowd views. Of the Super 8s and the qualifiers was in...
Toronto.
Which must tell you something.
Yeah,
well,
possibly.
They made those numbers up as well.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Hashtag conspiracy.
I tell you what, though, when you mentioned Toronto from there, and you look at like at Widnes and Toronto themselves, they play Warrington in the Challenge Cup, didn't they? They got absolutely hammered, and now they played Ulster Rovers fully deserve that. And you look at that Toronto side, if they get into Super League, all they've got, or maybe apart from a couple of players, all they've got is journeymen. So they're not going to be good enough for Super League week in and week out. So they'll have to buy a brand new side.
Which they will.
But they will, though. Isn't that why, despite all the politics of what they do, what they don't do? Is it not that if they're in, they're going to spend money? Yeah, they're not going to come in and do a witness and go, whoa, 1.8 million quid. Well, let's get some journeymen and just fill out the squad. Mm. They're going to say, I tell you what, we'll have him. What do you mean we can't get him under the salary cap? We'll find a way.
But again, though, the journeymen at Toronto, they'll get a start somewhere else. So what sort of quality are we bringing to the game? Robert Elston, you know, you saw his first interview on Sky a few months ago now when he was at the Salford witness game. And I'm looking at him and I'm laughing at him saying, hold on here. You're talking about the game as a whole. You give it to Gary Edmonton where he's not supporting A, B, C and D. And you're at a game here where there's going to be no quality whatsoever. And you're looking to sell the greatest game of all. And as I say, with Toronto, if they do manage to get into the Super League, they're going to have to buy a brand new side. But again, there's going to be loads more journeymen coming into the other side.
I'm not sure, because I think not only would they use any marquee player allowance that there is, without question. And you know, Billy Slater's announced his retirement. If Toronto were to say there is a blank cheque, do you want to spend the last year of your rugby life, a new lifestyle, a different continent, bring your young family, everything paid for, I think he'd go. I think that's the kind of market they would be looking at. They're not looking at somebody who's necessarily playing in the New South Wales competition. Look at what they did in League One. They bought a championship team when they were in League One. They bought, all right, you know,
a Super League team
while they're in the championship, but good enough. You know, Gareth O'Brien would still get into any Super League team at the moment. So they've got some good players, but there'd be wholesale change. And they would buy top end, even if that meant coming from existing Super League.
Gareth O'Brien would get in the top six side in Super League.
I think he'd get into most of them.
Yeah, he would get in the top six side, so he's a journeyman, like the rest of them.
I think he would.
It's half the league have given up.
Well, hold on. Gareth O'Brien has been to how many clubs?
By the way, can I ask a question? What does Josh McCrone do apart from moan at referees?
Exactly.
Every time I watch him, all I see him is... That's the only time I see him chelping at the ref.
He's garbage.
Yeah?
Yeah, he is. I watched it purposely as well. I watched it purposely.
Did they play the wrong tactics, do you think? I mean, they wanted to keep it mainly up the middle and try and bully the whole
They try and bully people, don't they?
Yeah.
They try and bully them and intimidate them, you know, and at times they're always begging. Aston Sims, how many times does he wave his hands about on this sort of thing? But they're always begging to the referee, aren't they? You know, as anything goes against him, you know, they're all like big crybabies at times, but no, and as I say, it's...
Because when Hulkiar moved the ball wide with pace,
Hulkiar
were impressive. Like they could take them apart.
Hulkiar were very, very impressive, and they did get intimidated, you know, and so again, it's a massive wake-up call for me for the Wolfpack.
Mm. Well, you wouldn't have expected them to beat too many Super League teams. Their first option's got to be to beat the other Championship teams and get in the £1 million game. They could still do that. But they've still got Widnes to play at home.
I was going
to
say, but the fact that Widnes are doing so badly, it moves everyone up, up a level, doesn't
it? Does. Yeah,
but I think if you look too far ahead, you know, to run a Super League team as close as one score, that's probably not a bad thing for Toronto. They've played now at that level. It's where they go from here.
It's interesting, though. We've always said the teams that have been in it have improved the second year. They have been in it. Can they do it? You know, when we saw them compete earlier with Warrington for 40 minutes, they were better than Warrington. Second half, they blew up because they stopped playing rugby and started scrapping. Yeah. I don't know. I just wonder if you go there and...
If you match Toronto, then
they need a plan B.
They haven't got a plan B.
The rankings before this competition started, they should be playing in the £1 million game because they are the top Championship team, and that's how it's supposed to
work. If you're down in order,
and they are still on course to do that.
Yeah,
and there will be
no criticism.
No.
I just think we're all thinking, everyone's thinking, they'll beat whoever, and they'll just go up.
And it ain't going to be that easy. No, it's not going to be that easy.
They'll have learnt a lot from that Hulkiar game. The fact that it ended with them relatively close to them, go back to the drawing board. I don't think that result.
Have they got any more Super League sides going to Toronto? Leeds go there.
No, they come to Leeds. Widnes are going.
Well, Widnes are a Super League side, so.
The competition started.
I've noticed that's the game Leeds are promoting around this fine city. The game against Toronto. So there's somebody saying something there. While we continue our section of talking about Toronto, because everyone loves Toronto.
Yeah.
James is complaining about the clock there. Well, what was the problem with the clock? I don't know.
That might be why,
because Sky are putting their own graphics on a game they're bringing from somewhere else, which is a different issue than it's not.
I was watching the game. Did you see the couple sat at the garden furniture? You know, in the right corner, where the Toronto the first half they were always attacking. And the corner flags about there, and where the door is, there's the two settees, there's the table, there's a husband sat there, wife sat there. As though it's just a Sunday afternoon sat in the garden. Rugby league players literally about 5 yards getting ripped into each other, diving all over the place, they called the flag and they're just selling like that.
It's something that they've got.
I don't understand it, but it looks all right.
They've got it sponsored, though. It's brilliant.
But it looks strange, though, Phil, to be honest. I know they're promoting the event and whatever, but it just looks strange.
What's odd is that throughout the entire first half, people were still coming into the stand because this concept of, you know, we'll turn up, we'll have a beer.
How many OKR fans travelled? There were quite a few.
Clearly a group of them, yeah.
And a couple of Warrington shirts in there as well. Nicholas, our man in Toronto, says, sad to say we'd have to make change for our score, but at the same time, Toronto did not embarrass themselves against Hulkiar. But for a couple of plays, it could have gone the other way. See, lots of people moaning about the commentary was biased. No, he wasn't. Come on.
I watched it. I was in the local pub. I didn't have the sound on, but...
I enjoyed Phil Clark saying most of this audience won't know the rules, and I thought, well, that makes him no different from anyone else, which was a very popular tweet on Twitter.
Did you get tweet of the week, Rich?
No, because the one about Adrian Vowles being told he'd be a failure by Tim Sheens. But in fairness to Tim Sheens, he probably meant first grade in Australia rather than in this country.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Possibly.
Deborah says, I think we need to grow the game locally, like, I don't know, Rochdale or something. Not bringing teams like Toronto, which is a logistical nightmare, not mentioning the costs.
Deborah, I think
here we go again.
I think the point is that if Toronto get in, and this is where the RFL have got to be strict, where they haven't been with Catalan will bring a big money TV deal. Remember when Nigel Wood was in here, he said, we've just signed a great deal in France for the TV. Right, where's the money? Show me the money. It's not there. They've got to bring in. If they bring in a £1 million TV deal and that gives everyone 100 grand in Super League, Super League will welcome
them. Why should they give it to any of the other teams when the other teams won't give them any money?
Well, that's fair, but I guess if they bring something to the table, well, if they do, then good luck to them.
Because the Super League clubs are taking £2 million back off not giving them any money if they get in.
Yeah, the point there, though, Phil, is if the deal's worth any more than the salary cap every year, what are they going to do with the money?
And as we always say on this programme, if Toronto do want to
spread the game,
send us out there, pay for us to go out there and have a look at things, we're more than willing to.
But doesn't
we missed out on going to France, so we'll come to Toronto instead.
But doesn't this go back to it's not about the structure? The structure is just reshuffling the deck chairs on the Titanic. It's what do we want from Toronto? Will Toronto only function if there's another team in North America? If there is another team in North America that will elicit a TV deal, how do we go about that? The thing about Catalan, which I don't fully understand, is why, and having spoken to French broadcasters out there, is why do they think Catalan could bring a television deal? Catalan and Toulouse can bring a television deal because every week there's a game that they can put on television. Mm. But if you are only one team out of 12, and as it was 14, there is no interest in the French media because they don't get a game every week. They can't build a story. They can't follow the team when they go away. But you stick a team there that they can have on their television screens every week playing elite-level sport and at least twice a year playing each other in what would be a really big derby down there, then there might be a television company prepared to put money into it. In the same way that people said, oh, well, we'll bring Castellan and immediately it'll improve the French national team. How will it? Mm. What was the thinking behind that? Because the good French players will be exhausted playing for Catalan to expect them to be the international team as well.
Has Martin hit the nail on the head here? There's clubs in dire financial problems, Championship pulls in around 600 average, and folk are whining about Toronto. Mm. Are they like a smokescreen for... They're blamed for all the ills of everything else. But in reality, if Toronto didn't exist, would thousands of people be going to watch the teams at the bottom end of the championship?
And this is the problem about putting money into areas that have had 120 years of the sport. Where are these other fans going to come from? This is what we were talking about the other week about the Cumbrian clubs that were asking for money. You know, asking for money is one thing, knowing your audience and if it's still there and how you appeal to it is another. And that was the thing that came across in London, that it's a different audience to the one that we get up here. It's overall a younger audience. How do clubs like the Championship clubs or the lower reaches of the League One clubs, how do they reach out to a new audience? Because money isn't the answer to that. York have done it. It's nothing to do with money because they've appealed in a different way, in a modern style, promoting an event.
Mm.
If they get promoted on the back of that as well, fantastic.
I think my biggest worry about Toronto is they've got a big money man backing them, and we've always said on here, most of the clubs have, let's be fair,
it's
Flanagan
not,
didn't put all the money in.
It's not one man, it's a group of investors.
Well, a group of investors.
He is the front.
Right, so the money's being pumped in, I get that. The crowd, I remain unconvinced, because never when I've seen it on the telly does there look to be as many as they say there is there. I'm willing to go with that. I think you could say that about a lot of crowds, but how many people are paying to get here? Is there is it just a bankroll, as in just someone's just going to pay for it forever? Or is it going to come self-sufficient? I worry where it's going.
What I would say is that all the feedback we've seen from clubs that have been there has been really positive.
But is that about the city?
I think it's about the experience.
Right.
And if we're really honest, we have to be an experienced sport. We have to have events. And I get the cost idea, but the one game that most...
Yeah, but it's not bringing new supporters to our game.
But
not in England. No, it's not. Not in England, it's not.
But
no one's going to go, oh, I'm off to Toronto to watch Dewsbury.
No, but it is. It is, because most of the places Toronto have been very high attendances for the teams that they played. York got 3,500 when they were playing Toronto, because it was sold as an event. Why are Leeds marketing the Toronto game? Because they've never played a Canadian team before. They're looking for links with Canada over here. I think you've got lots of opportunities if a team is coming over from Canada. They don't have to bring fans.
No, I get that. I get that. But
what they bring you are marketing possibilities.
Okay, fair enough. I'm not sure.
I
want them in Super League because I see it's going to be another team that within the next 5 years has got a good chance of winning the competition.
And
I just want to know what the bigger
profile. You know, some of the things we need, if you were to list in order where Rugby League is at the moment, they can bring.
Hmm.
corporate sponsors that we don't currently have.
Yeah.
Ant says, why are we wanting to take the sport away from its core fans? I just don't get it. If Canada wants to play rugby league, great, set up a Canadian Super League. But those, as pointed out by Martin earlier, those clubs in the core area ain't got no fans.
Mm. They're not adding to the bigger picture.
If we didn't have Toronto, would more people watch Oldham? No.
Yeah.
You're not comparing two things that are like for like. You need to do both. You need to expand into new markets and find a reason to keep the traditional clubs going by giving them something to play for, other than what they've got at the moment.
Mix, that's why some established clubs are in trouble and some newer clubs, like say Coventry, are not having problems. But make your own assumptions on those. You're probably not too far wrong. Salford's crowdfunding thing, you remember that from a few weeks
ago?
Oh,
yeah.
I checked it yesterday because I thought, how much did they raise in the end of that £20,000? £8,500.
Right.
So that's a Super League club begging to their supporters, £8,500. Well, where did that money go?
Paid the cleaner for the rest of the month.
Don't know. Interesting.
What we should do is scrap the salary cap. Oh, no, not scrap the salary cap. Make it lower, but everyone British is free. And that means you can only spend so much on decent imports and not rubbish journeymen like Scoey says.
But one of the other things, going back to profile, that we need are the signings that we got in Scoey's era. You know, mainly coming over from rugby union or top NRL players. You know, Mal Meninga playing for St Helens. How are we going to get that with the clubs as they're currently structured, with the money that's coming into the sport? If one of the other things a Toronto could do, and maybe a London with dispensation could do, is attract some top names because of the cities that they play in. It's a lifestyle destination, isn't it? If a player wants to come over and live in London,
I would imagine
go to Toronto.
Any of the top NRL players, though, Phil, they're going to want to come over. They want to get themselves to Wembley. They want to win the grand final. They're not going to go to London. They're not going to go to Toronto, because they're not going to do that, are they?
Not where they are at the moment. But what I'm saying is, should our plan be looking 5 or 10 years ahead, whereby if Toronto got into Super League this year, they would be a team version around 8th next year, I think, in their first year in Super League.
What, in Super League?
Yeah.
No, well, not unless they buy at least another 10 or 12 players.
That's exactly what they do.
Yeah, but where are they going to get them from?
Apparently, Francis says, we're so far out of touch, it's unreal.
Why?
We've had this question here. David says, if any of you four lads are soaking on Toronto on a free week, pay to go there, plenty of fans go, two or three come the other way, stop pleading poverty. If I had the spare money to go watch my team play in Toronto, I would. But I don't have I don't have the money all the time.
But why did the whole KR fans go this week? Because they wanted...
It's an experience, isn't it? Yeah. Why did all those people go to Australia to see Wigan versus Hull in a normal Super League fixture?
Why do 1,500 Castleford fans look forward to going to Perpignan? Because it's an event, an experience, and we all make choices with the money that we spend. That's a red herring.
Yeah. I'm just not...
I've never seen Wakefield playing in the south of France, but it doesn't mean that I don't think Catalan should be in Super League.
And because they only bring 3 fans back, it's not about the away fans. We've got to get away from trying to run our clubs on what away fans want.
But we're out of touch.
Agree that. So we're out of touch, fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
You know, Lee are doing so well, aren't they? As has been pointed out, if I can find it. Oh, we'll do some witness things first of all.
Go on, there's some more coming in. I think Nicholas has replied to me saying I was wrong, so what am I wrong about? Let's have a look.
They have exactly the same salary cap as all the other Super League and Championship teams.
Oh, he might be arguing with another mark.
Oh, right, a different mark. Fair enough. Too many marks. We're having a mark amnesty. Would like to see Gareth Hawke at the Bulls after being released by Featherston, says Neil. The Bulls need some biting experience up front after getting beat by Workington.
Do the Bulls not just need to start playing some decent rugby?
Well, might be that as well.
At the signing Jake Webster for next year from Cassidy?
Yes, I can see that. I won't have a problem with that.
Where would you play him, in the pack or in the centres?
Yeah, probably play him in the centre with a view to you can put him in the pack.
Well, they're not playing that well, Bulls. They're playing Bournemouth rugby league, are they?
I think they're playing John Keir rugby. Read into that what you will.
I didn't realise Lee Smith was only 32. I thought he was much older than that. Certainly looked it when he played.
You're not
for
talking Wakefield. About his waist size, are you? Let's be fair. Move on.
I can't. Come on, that's be hypocritical of me to say that. DP says,
"You're not a professional rugby league player. Not 50 grand
well,
a year,
no,
or whatever."
I was going to say something, then I decided not to. DP says, "Looking at Fev and Lee offloading players, the way they are, it's only a matter of time before 0-hour contracts are introduced. Just in case you don't make the middle eights. Get what's his name on the phone? What's he called? Mike Ashley. Get him on." Yeah. Some clubs.
The problem is, and this is a problem the game has, and this is where you go on about the player welfare the contracts aren't worth the paper they're written on. And then you get people like Derek Beaumont coming out last week criticising players for not leaving. You think, hang on, you offered me the contract,
you
mate.
signed it.
I signed the contract that you offered me, so you pay the money. Don't criticise me for wanting my money. Outrageous. Outrageous. It is, it's outrageous. But that's the thing that needs to stop. And that comes with funding, how you run your club. If you can pay your way, you go back to Coventry. Are they struggling to pay their wages despite not making the top five? No.
Just get on with it.
The Bradford fan who wants Gareth Hockby for the experience, who isn't doing it currently in the Bradford side? Steve Crossley got loads of experience. James Green just come down from a Super League club, got loads of experience. Matty Garside wasn't it, picked up from London, was close to being their player of the year. Elliot Minchella came down from Super League. Sam Hallis came down from Super League. On the bench, Liam Kirk, who was home produced, which is what you want. You've got to have a certain portion of your post. Ross Peltier. Again, is the issue not who you need at Bradford at the moment, that Bradford have... Did they self-combust against Workington, or should we just give all of the... I'd be happy to give all of the credit to Workington for coming up with a game plan that nullified
Bradford them. Can't beat him. That's Bradford's problem. Oh, now Jordan Lilly played for Bradford yesterday. My dad went to the game and just said the Bulls were rubbish. Mm. You know, simple as.
We'll get him on next to Mickinet for the next game.
We will.
Nicholas says, my comment to Mark on the show is a number of British supporters have said they were disillusioned with rugby league and left it, but have returned due to the arrival of Toronto. There'll be a lot of people in rugby league who say... Oh, I'm not going because the referees are inconsistent in this. They're the same people who didn't turn up at Elland Road when previous people owned it, and then they left and still didn't turn up. But now we'll be big Leeds fans, now they're any good. And when it goes wrong, oh no, he hate Leeds, me. I never know.
Yeah.
Hypocrites.
I'm not so sure about that, Nicholas. I don't know.
Coming up this Saturday, Simon says, in Germany, it's a World Cup qualifier, Germany versus the Czech Republic, at Barentaich Fehr, Osnabrück. Kickoff is at 4 p.m. Osnabrück is also near to a couple of British Army bases. Pay on the door €5. Simon, can get a ticket for the Challenge Cup final for €5. Sort your pricing out. If you're in Germany, go watch that.
Yeah, should be good.
World Cup's coming.
Hmm.
Elsewhere.
Steve said experience doesn't mean they're any good.
Yeah.
In reply.
Right.
We did have someone
there. Name names then. Come out, name names. We weren't there. We can't criticise.
I'm
we
saying
the game.
On the team sheet that we've got. It's a good sheet.
Mix asks the easiest question here. Should we welcome a Thurston or a Slater, not journeyman but past their best? Yes. Because you can sell them. Because they were like really good players as opposed to journeymen. Well, we signed a player from the NRL. Yeah, but there's been lots of players playing in the NRL who ain't any good.
Rich, let me just say that. If there's anybody out there with £500,000, if you can give me £500,000, I'll have Thurston and I'll have Slater play for me down at Kiefer next year. Don't worry about that. They'll come and play for me down at Cougar Park. If anybody got £500,000, please give me it, and I'll tell you, come and watch them at Cougar Park first and then at Slater.
You'd fancy marketing on the back of those two, wouldn't
you? Oh, you would. You'd easy get your money back, wouldn't you? Eh?
What, £500,000? How big's your corporate hospitality?
Yeah, but the crowd, you'd fill it every week, wouldn't you?
How many
charge to watch them train?
Jonathan Thurston running outside
me.
The only thing that'll kill you is when you're playing Salford on a Thursday in a loop fixture. No, I'm not bothered who's playing.
Think of how many neutrals went to watch Leeds and North Queensland just to see Jonathan Thurston.
Yeah, exactly. That's
went to the World Cup final.
But also, not just that night, you know. It wasn't just adults who were there. The kids just absolutely loved him because that's the, you know, and he was going and he was giving him his head guard and the tees and all this kicking tees and all. Kids just absolutely loved him, you know. So
and he ran up to the back of the stands. That's
what it's all about. I agree. Characters, personalities, you know.
Stars.
That's another thing what he was talking about that night. You know, when Elston was on the on the television about Super League. You know, we need the characters. We need the superstars. But unfortunately, we haven't got any.
And you're not going to get the loop fixtures, sadly.
No, not at all. So he's got a massive job.
Talking to somebody yesterday who I've known for a very long time and seen the various incarnations of London, and we were talking about 1997. Which was a season where London finished second in Super League. And that season in that ill-fated World Club Championship where everybody played everybody, they were arguably the best team because they beat an Australian team at home in front of 9,000 fans, and the following week they just lost to one. That team was made up of Australians we'd heard of, like Terry Matteson and Peter Gill. It was made up of English legends like Martin Afire and Sean Edwards, and it was made up of the first generation of London kids coming through like A.D. Spencer and Matt Salter. There's a recipe there. They were getting 5,000 or 6,000 for league games. Richard Branson was starting to get interested. They finished second in Super League in 97. They got to the Challenge Cup semi-final for the first time in 98. They got to the Challenge Cup final in 99. They had a bit of an outspoken coach who garnered headlines. We've wasted all of that. But it can be done in London. And if we do it right, and then we... How did we get people like the Tony Clubs coming through? Because they were looking at that London that was in Super League, playing good rugby with Virgin on the front of the shirt, saying, I wouldn't mind having a go at that. At the moment, we've got some great kids playing in their academy, but they're being picked off by other Super League teams. So what as the sport do we want from the capital? Because it'll give us players and profile if we do it right.
I think people last week genuinely believed that rugby league expansion was coming to North Korea.
It is. And the Pyongyang pylons.
You can buy the t-shirt. It's our best-selling rugby league item, apparently.
It is.
Hashtag Pyongyang pylons. Hashtag Kim. He's watching.
Where's that coming from? Pyongyang pylons?
We've made it up.
We've
just made it up.
Big in North Korea this show. They're getting their own rugby league team on the back.
We're in Korea, aren't we?
Yeah, we're in big. It's the only Korea we've got, but we're there.
If I get it in time for Wembley, I'll be wearing it there with my jacket over the top in a kind of Steve Mascord fashion.
Not that way, your colours.
Well, no, that's true.
Not that way,
and
your
colours. And as the primary shareholder in the Pyongyang Pylons.
When are they playing the Seoul Sabres in the local down?
Well, they've already beaten them.
All right.
Because they are the eternal champions of the only
results we get are the ones they win.
Yeah. Oh, they're unbeaten. Oh, they're a great set of lads. Pyongyang Pylons. shop.probsupport.uk. Use the promo code Kim to save 10%. If you've not seen the picture Tom's done of Kim Jong-un watching rugby league, it's ridiculous.
Retweet it again, Tom. It is funny. Then people saying, this has got to be a joke. Yeah. And it's like, no.
It's real.
If you can buy a t-shirt, it's real.
It's real. Yeah, like New York. We'll play New York next year. In the same made-up games.
What has happened there?
Same as Bristol, I heard.
Right.
Opening game will be Bristol, New York.
Okay.
Someone said we should take... someone said we should buy Toaster Racecourse and put a rugby league team in the middle of the Greyhound track. Like they did at Sheffield. Because Toaster's somewhere near Coventry, so they can have a natural rival. I don't think that was going to happen either. Although we can invent that team as well. Saw Phil on the telly, says Hopper, over the weekend on Rugby Codebreakers. What a great show it was. The Welsh Rugby Union were brutal. If carried on like that these days, charges would be brought. Remember in the 2000s where they claimed Kieran Cunningham wasn't really Welsh because he turned them down? Nothing changes.
Mm. Kieran Cunningham was becoming the new Leeds coach.
Yeah, apparently, this is from The Egg, who's got one of those names on Twitter like he's a Russian bot. Are rumours of Cunningham getting the Leeds head coach role true? What are Scottish Grand Final and Challenge Cup winners? Who goes down? Hashtag the legend. Hashtag intercept king. He's definitely a Russian bot.
Well, I'll tell you what, if Kieran Cunningham becomes Leeds coach, I'm not watching him ever again until he gets the sack. So I guess if he starts, I guess I'll start watching Leeds in
March. Who would you start supporting?
Leeds Carnegie.
Who would you start supporting then? Yeah. Who would be your next team?
Keith is his next team, surely.
Yeah, but it works there. That's different.
Yeah.
Back to Hull. Let him in.
Oh, the way they're playing, not a chance. they're garbage and all. And that's
Hull in crisis. Have we got Hull in crisis?
They are in crisis.
That's not Lee Ratcher's fault. It's them players who are literally taking a Michael Harvey, if I'm honest with you. Who would I support if I weren't supporting Leeds?
Hunslet. You're a Hunslet lad, aren't you?
No, I don't.
Hunslet Park said on the way up.
What about Coventry? You're a big fan of expansion.
No, thanks.
Yeah, there's the Hull in crisis t-shirt.
But surely, Phil, that's not doing the rounds, Kieran Cunningham coming to Leeds, is it?
I'm not heard it.
Hey?
Phil would know. Oh,
boy. I've heard Leeds already do know who their new head coach is for next year, but they're keeping it...
They're keeping it
in-house at the moment.
Do you know yourself?
Mm. I don't know.
Yes, you do.
Honestly.
Phil will know.
I'd whisper it to you if I knew, but I genuinely don't know.
It's Kevin Sinfield, isn't it? It's Kevin Sinfield.
What about Wayne Bennett? He's been trying to get rid of him, aren't
they? I hope not.
Trying to get rid of him at Brisbane.
I hope not.
He'd invite you around for a drink.
I hope not. Boring interviews.
You'd be able to repay the compliment.
Phil, I don't want Wayne Bennett culturally.
Can I just make a comment about Wayne Bennett? It was nice to see him actually speaking to the media this week when he had an agenda to speak to the media because saying, I'm getting sacked.
What is
agenda?
His agenda.
They want me to resign. He was happy to sit there and talk to everyone.
His agenda.
I think he'd be perfect at a Belle Isle barbecue.
Oh, no, I don't want Wayne Bennett at Leeds neither, and I don't want Kieran Cunningham. I told you I want him. I told you who would be the ideal Leeds coaching staff for the next 3 years. Yeah. Sean Wayne, stop it going to Rugby Union. Sean Wayne, Danny Ward, and
Dream Team.
And Sean Wayne and
Kieran Cunningham.
And Robbie Burrow.
What is this, some kind of Bradford plot to bring Leeds down?
Wayne Bennett, of course, could be sponsored by Bennett's Butchers and it all ties
in.
I wouldn't let Phil go anywhere near him.
You could get him in at Keithley and a part-time shift down at Bennett's Butchers.
Yes, Phil.
You know, what Phil, a marketing coup
Phil,
that
Phil, Bennett, Phil Bennett's the owner, you know, he just with a smile on his face. Bennett does it, does he? You know what I mean?
We've upped to Andy. He says there's a Challenge Cup on Saturday and we're talking Leeds. We always talk Leeds.
We barely mentioned Leeds.
We weren't in the south of France, though. We weren't invited.
No.
We weren't on that press junket.
No.
Anyway, have any Widnes fans come on yet? We've been at the show now 50 minutes. Any Widnes fans?
Vinty's been on, saying Cummings to Leeds along with Dennis Betts.
I don't think the issue is the coach.
Yeah, exactly. You Widnes fans, don't be blaming the coaches.
Well, Sharon says Bet should have been binned last year. He has spoilt a good side. What good side? Gavin says, if Widnes get relegated, how long do you think it will be before they get promoted back up?
They
won't. Who knows? Depends
20
on the,
years.
Depends on the,
20
on the
years.
Thing. We don't know.
Has Mr. Hamlin come on? Mr. Hamlin, where are you?
He was in the paper, wasn't he? I don't know if he listens to this programme. I did have a Cass fan come up to me yesterday at the races saying, tell them Leeds were lucky today. So I've told them. I don't know how he knew, but he's going to be watching. So
fair enough. We'll talk about the Challenge Cup after seven, so you've not got long to wait.
I don't think we can fill a whole hour, though, Andy.
Well,
we'll
have a go at it.
Elsewhere, Sam says, can't underestimate the importance of that win for Hull KR with Leeds, Salford and Toronto to play each other. And we still have Leeds. It's very much wide open for them top three spots. We have about five players yet to come back. Carney, Dewitt, Lunton, Blair.
Can I make a statement now?
Yeah.
Hull KR will beat Leeds the week after the Challenge Cup final at Headingley. They will beat Leeds.
Right, I'll have a curry with you, they won't.
All right.
You're on. After the game.
Full mashings.
Yeah, full
well.
Mashings. Yeah, the starters, definitely. Main course, and I might have dessert as well.
All right, no problem.
Yeah,
well, I'm looking forward to it. You can have whatever you want. You'll
be
paying.
Do you know what? I'm confident that Leeds will turn OKR over. Do you know what, Mr. Wilson? I'm going to give you 6 stars.
Oh.
You got that? I'm giving you 6 stars. I'm giving you 6 stars.
Get me the number for Akbar. I'll ring him up now and book the table.
I'm giving you 6 stars.
Can't wait for Jamie Peacock and Kevin Sinfield.
Leeds are rubbish. They're rubbish. They've conceded. How many points have they conceded now? Against two championship teams.
54
they've conceded.
I thought it was 22 and 22. Oh, no, 28 yesterday, wasn't it? No, sorry. Yeah,
32 yesterday.
Keep up.
32.
So there you go.
Daniel agrees with you. He says Hull KR 100% beat Leeds.
Well done, Daniel. You can come as well.
Don't be honest.
Scott is paying it, don't you?
We're
going to invite everyone. It's going to be a free-for-all. I'm going to block book the restaurant.
Steve says, good effort from West Wales this weekend. They were level at half-time against
Cardiff.
They were. But lost.
But no financial crisis at West Wales.
No. People want them thrown out of the league because they're rubbish.
Yeah.
Why can't we throw out Widnes then?
get ripped in, Rich. It says me from getting all the abuse.
They have been, they've lost 18 in a row. At least West Wales have got the excuse there.
What, if it gets to 20, is that it?
Yeah.
Don't come. Don't come.
Not play rugby union.
Here's an envelope, fellas. It's been nice knowing.
I tell you what, the Widnes players would be happy at that. Oh, yeah, go 20 on pounds and we don't have to play any more games. They'd love that, wouldn't they, the Widnes players? The commitment, what they're showing.
Exactly. Exactly. The listeners are getting stuck in. They know Leeds are rubbish. They know I've won already. I mean, I'm not going to eat for a week.
Why, what are they saying? Why, what are they saying?
Is it a buffet?
Because
what are they saying?
Because Paul says Leeds will win. He must be drunk.
He's Leeds,
Michael, Leeds won't beat Hull KR, I'm telling you. Hull KR just beating Toronto and beating them. Leeds had all on beating London and Toulouse at home.
That must be on the telly.
Hold on, Leeds against London were 48-10 up at one point, so it took the fourth of gas. London like to throw the ball around there, but Hull KR, if they were playing London, they might have took the fourth of gas, maybe in the same. Don't worry, we're ripping into you a week of Saturday, I can reassure you.
Timothy's been on. The team who share bottom in the qualifiers with Widnes are Halifax, he says. Comments on Halifax, chaps, please. How long do they stay part-time? They should never turn full-time, should they?
No. They tried it and it failed.
No, they don't do a Sheffield and blow it in. They've got a very, very good community club and they are building nicely.
An academy and a reserve grade, and that's where they want to put their money, and they should be encouraged to do.
And also as well, Halifax know what they are.
Yeah.
They know what Halifax do, they do it very well. They control what they want to control, and the most important factor is the finances, and they do it very well.
But should we?
We need
should
to
we
give
be,
them a cup to play for.
That's what I'm going to say. Yeah. Do we not, as part of this new regime, yes. Newly set of Halifax, right? Come on, Halifax, realistically. What would happen to Halifax if they got in this year? They won the next five games and they get in. What are they going to do? You know, they've got a good championship squad. You would talk about Toronto having to revamp their team. Exactly. What would Halifax have to do?
Exactly.
So what is... Who's sitting down and going, right, Halifax, you're a great club, you're doing everything right, we want more clubs in that division to follow what you're doing, but what's the long-term plan for them,
The plan is they could be at Wembley this weekend, and we wouldn't be talking about a crowd of 50,000, we'd be talking about at least 65, because Halifax would play in...
Workington, or Featherstone.
And all of the latent Halifax support and those who like to take on the name of the local team in a major final would go.
That's you looks go at Bennett's Butchers.
But Ralph Rimmer's head's in it as well. He's in the shot window, so I'm concerned.
So they need to build. But these are things when we talk about long-term planning. What is the long-term plan?
When they win the championship in a major championship final, beating a similar team who are at the top of the part-time game, they get £250,000 for doing that.
Mm. Agreed with that.
And it's played in front of 15, 20,000 people at an iconic stadium, not Oddsall.
We've got in for a fiver.
Yeah.
Well, I reckon you'd sell proper tickets for that as well.
In all seriousness, I'm not buying tickets for the internationals until they go really cheap, because I know that's what's going to happen.
I don't think they will.
I think they'll sell out.
Internationals are different, I think.
Yeah, I think we'll be on.
They have a value.
Right, come on, plenty of people are getting ripped in.
Yeah,
and,
Phil says, should they give Paul McShane his Man of Steel trophy now and save dragging it out? He went back-to-back
Man of
Steel.
Well, that's Ben Barber. Oh, Ben Barber was the Man of Steel.
Well, when Eddie said in commentary on Friday, some people were giving Ben Barber the Man of Steel one, thinking, yeah, they were, Eddie, weren't they? Yeah, I don't know who they were, though.
I'll tell you what, I watched him the other night at Wakefield, and again, he's just not interested. Just not interested. He threw out a lovely pass to Makinson at the end of the first half to create the try, but apart from that, just literally... not interested. You know, up to 6-7 weeks ago, he was everywhere on the park, you know, and certainly when St Helens were moving forward, he was listed at the left-hand side, right-hand side of the ruck area and all this sort of thing. Now he's just 20, 30 yards back, just watching and watching. He's just showing no enthusiasm, any desire whatsoever. For whatever reason, he doesn't look injured, if I'm honest with you, from what I've seen, but he just doesn't show, he's just not showing no interest at all. He's not. And my man of steel, if I'm honest with you, I don't think McAlorum should be far off it. I don't think Cassis should be off it. And also to the centre at Wakefield.
Bill Tupu.
Tupu. He's had a sensational season. He's been the best centre so far this year.
Agreed.
Bill Tupu as well. He should be in with a shout.
I can't look beyond James Robey at the moment.
Yeah, Robey's will be there and thereabouts.
He's had as good a season as he's had in years. I think he's been fantastic.
You know, so now with Barber, for where he's been certainly now for the last 2 months, tell you what,
John Bateman.
I don't think you put him in there, if I'm honest.
Bateman's been brilliant for Wigan this year. Shining light.
Mm.
Going out in a blaze of glory.
I tell you what, how well did Sam Tonkins play at the weekend? You know, I just want to say, you know with Wigan, you know the mess what he's making of this at Leningen. And when you look at
They're in a hole next season, a big hole.
Mate, I'm just going to say this as well, because, you know, Sean's left because of all the interference. He's found out what's gone on and all the interference. But when you look at it, McAlorum left before the start of the season, we were all absolutely astonished by.
Boy.
Tompkins is leaving. Do you know what? The Wigan fans must be saying, why is Sam Tompkins leaving Wigan? I reckon it's because Sean Wayne's going, because they all want to play for Sean. Bateman, all right, has got the option of going to the NRL, but I'm sure if Sean Wayne was staying, he would have stayed at Wigan. Sutton's trying his luck from there again, but I'm sure again that if Sean was staying, then Sutton would be staying. Does Leningen know what he's doing? You know, and Leningen...
This is a man that some people want, or he wants to run rugby league.
But also as well, mate, as well, when I was reading that interview last week about him as well, and he was saying, well, this position has been caused because Sean's leaving. Hold on. Sean Wayne has never wanted to leave Wigan Rugby League Club.
In some ways, we need Wigan to win the grand final, because he will come out and tell. He will spill.
There's no two ways about it.
Yeah,
he will spill. It will just be bubbling inside Sean. Don't worry about this.
He's been forced out.
We've had it out. But again, Mr. Lanigan's saying...
It's not coincidence either that his two generals under him, Matty Peat and Mark Bitcon, are going as well.
Yeah.
Are they leaving as well?
Yeah. Bitcon's going to Manchester City. Matty Peat's going to Sale Sharks. Now, I know Mick Cassidy's coming in from Widnes to head up the youth development. Yeah, yeah. But Sean Wayne comes as a package, and the whole package is going.
Mm. But as I say, but you know the way Tompkins play at the weekend. Why? If I were a Wigan fan, I'd be saying, why
well,
are
we like saying
Tompkins?
And everyone says, oh, you're biased against the Lancashire club. We've been saying, oh, for me, he should have been playing for England.
Oh,
I think, Sam Tompkins now is a better player than the one that went to the NRL.
I said that earlier. I said that earlier, Mark.
Where
before
do you
we
play
came on show.
Tony Gigo next year? Because Sam Tompkins, it's almost as if he was doing an audition for his new fans. I would imagine everybody applauded him off that field, and the Dragons supporters would have been going, can't wait to have him in the Sangenhall next year. But Gigio's been brilliant for them at full-back.
Mm. Competition for places.
Yeah,
but
I think, well, I think
it is worth
both.
Noting that, I mean, are they going to get Matty Smith? The word is they're going to get Matty Smith. But
so is Jingwell leaving?
Well, he's only on a short-term deal, yeah.
But, the current thinking is they're offering Drinkwater something to stay, and the Smith deal might not now happen.
Well, I would think that would be a better deal.
Well, where's Bert going? You know Bert the standoff. What's his name?
Greg Bird.
No, Bert the standoff.
Oh, Langy.
Oh, Bert.
Sonny Langy.
Yeah, I call him Bert because I can't pronounce his name.
He's staying.
That's what they call Brett Kenny, Bert. So he's staying because I was just thinking, are they going to play Tompkins at number six?
They've got some nice options, though, aren't they?
Oh, sensational. But I tell you, if I was a Wigan fan, I'd be saying, why have we let Sam Tompkins go?
Because they can't afford the marquee payment.
Right.
Rubbish.
Yeah,
rubbish.
So this is a guy that wants to run the game that can't run his own club. Mm. He's sold John Bateman. Sutton's going. Tompkins is leaving.
McAlorum's gone.
Lachlan is on the verge.
Williams is not happy.
Yeah. So that's five of your best players.
Best players.
Go with that. Not playing next season. Or playing very minimal.
So you as a Wigan fan, you'd be thinking, what's going wrong
you
here?
You are getting Lachlan.
Why is all this
being
caused?
Well, they're selling clubs going. All they do is sell the best players.
But you are getting Lachlan Lamb.
Right.
Yeah, so what?
Okay.
So what, Phil?
Just say. Comes with a coach.
Is that something you buy at Bennett's Butchers?
Lamb. Shame for Liam Marshall. I think he's been absolutely sensational for Wigan this season.
Yes, and injured ACL.
Yeah, going to be out for quite a while.
How many people? I went to the women's game yesterday. There were four players out with ACL injuries. What's that all about? Honestly, it's madness, isn't it?
They didn't have ACLs before 1995.
I know.
Ironic, but good for Don Manfredi that looks like he's coming back just as Marshall's gone. But that's another player they're not going to have at the beginning of next season. And Marshall's really big for them.
Yeah. Mm. I just think they're going
to
struggle.
But I have to say, but Lennigan's caused this mess.
Yes, he has caused this mess.
And I say last week, as I was saying, when I was reading that interview, and he's saying, you know, this position's been made available because Sean's leaving. Absolutely laughable. Mm. Laughable. Sean Wayne would never ever want to leave Wigan Rugby League Club. No. He's been forced away, and we know.
All right. Yeah, we've been there and done it. What else happening? Social media.
Con's been on. He's a Widnes fan. My word on not blaming the coaches. He picked 7 second rows in the 17. This must be David Waite. What's going on? He's clueless. Cummings has made this pathetic Widnes side worse.
Oh,
Sid, do I have a feeling he's actually Rod Studd in disguise? Says, read the middle eights. Don't forget, Leeds have played two championship teams. Hull County have played Salford and Toronto away. Our easier fixtures still to come. Don't write the Rovers off.
I'm not writing Rovers. I think Rovers are safe.
Writing Rovers off.
Oh, yeah, really?
Absolutely no problem.
Rovers aren't winning £1 million game. They're safe.
They'll be fine. Yeah. They'll be fine. What else?
Mary is talking about the Super League's form side. Huddersfield. They have to play the top four yet. How do you think they will fare?
Well, they've already played Saints. So they've played them.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I think they play Wakey after the thing, then they play Warrington.
That's the big one.
So if they win their next two games, they could well be in the top four.
Well, Warrington...
Well, actually, they won't be on points difference. The points difference is
inferior. That's the only thing that might count against them, because I think they're going to have to win three times more.
Yeah.
But Warrington have to play on the Thursday after Wembley.
Yeah.
Win or lose.
Who do they play for?
Hull.
But well, the way Hull are playing, I think Scoey could beat them.
Psychologically, playing at Wembley takes its toll. You look at most teams when they've been at Wembley.
And if they win?
Especially if they win. But even if they lose, you're riding such an emotional rollercoaster. To play on the Thursday, that is ridiculous scheduling.
Well, it is.
But the likelihood...
Especially as soon as they're playing Hull.
Yeah.
But the best will in the world.
The likelihood is that Warrington will lose the game after Wembley. Huddersfield have got a good record against Wakefield, who...
Yeah,
are inconsistent at the moment. David Fifita's packed his bags. He's not playing. There'll be others, I suspect, that probably won't. Because there's nothing Wakefield can do. So Sorry, that's Huddersfield beat Wakefield. Warrington lose to Hull. That game between the two of them in a fortnight's time, that is absolutely massive.
Mm. Wakefield legend David Fifita giving his full name according to that.
And just a word as well for people, you're going about players and coaches, Scully. Simon Wolford's come in. They've won, is it 11 out of 12 now in Super League? I mean, that is some run of form,
mate. At the end of the day, all he's done is just managed them. He's not coached them. Hasn't made a better rugby league player from the point of view to tell them how to catch, pass, and tackle and support. All he's done is to say, hey, listen, I've seen how good rugby league players you are. I don't want you to go out there and express it. And that's what he's done. And I said to the guys earlier before we came on the show, Mark, to Rich and Phil, Rick Stone must be sat at home thinking, what went wrong? What went wrong? Well, I'll tell you what went wrong, Rick. Them players wanting to express themselves, them players wanting to play rugby league, and you stopped them doing it. You made them into robots. You made them into boring rugby league players. You made them into boring people who just didn't want to play for you. And you got your tactics wrong, you got your man management wrong, you got your coaching wrong. Walford's coming there now. Phil will mention the new guy who just signed a new 3-year deal from a point of view.
Well, it's not new, they brought back Andrews.
They brought him back from a fitness...
And he has made a difference.
From a fitness point of view, but as far as Simon Wolford's gone, and also to Chris Foreman, you know, because you remember Chris Foreman saying, well, me and Rick Stone at times, you know, we had some arguments. I didn't always agree with him, and fair play to Foreman. He stuck up for himself from there. But all Wolford has done, he's identified that side that they can play smart, attractive rugby league. They can defend. They could do the basics well. And when they're allowed to play, is allowing to play. Not hard to do, Mark. And Rick Stone, all he did was made them into robots, boring rugby league players, didn't want to play for him, and he got exactly what he deserved, and that was a sack.
He stripped it back to basics and focused it on defence and said, we want to be difficult to break down. And I mean, you saw them on...
Who's that, Wilford?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're scoring tries as well. Yeah, they're scoring plenty of points.
But you saw them in the first half against Hull. They built it on the back of defence, didn't they?
I didn't see the game. I was a Wakefield. I didn't do the game. Now I was Wakefield.
But they've gone back to being a very difficult team to break down. And when they get an opportunity, they can take it. Part of that is the fitness aspect, but also just having a very simple, basic game plan and playing to your strengths.
Well, again,
and
you know,
and confidence builds week on week because you keep winning.
But also, as well as I mentioned a few weeks ago, when he got the best out of him. By the way, yeah, you gave me a bit of stick a few weeks ago regarding Gaskell, which you know I heard about Phil as well. Get ripped into me saying Scoy went early on Gaskell. Well, Gaskell to Walford came was absolute garbage, and he has been for 18 months, 2 years under Rick Stone. But now, Gaskell, believe this or not, if we had a bit of a crisis, a stand-up position where maybe two or three players got injured, Gaskell wouldn't look out of place in the England jersey the way that he's playing. And that's what he's done for him. That's what the coach has done. By giving him that confidence, letting him express himself, and being the quality rugby league player that he's shown when he walked, you know, we Lomax has said talents, you know, back 4 or 5 years ago. And it's easily done. If you've got that talent, don't take it away from him. Let him express himself. As there I keep saying to you guys, you've got talent, so express
side,
yourself.
They beat Hull. Hull are rubbish.
Hull are garbage.
Hull have gone. I struggle to see where they win another game.
Do you know what, mate? As I said last week, and I'm sticking by it, you know, because me and the Doc, we were doing the commentary at Saints and Wakefield last week, and the Doc were, the way he works in Hull, and the black and white fans are saying, I tell you what, your mate, you know, he's been given a stick again. He's saying Huddersfield are going to beat us by 40-odd points. So I said to him, I said, hey, Doc, listen, tell them Hull fans are yours tomorrow that I'm right. Them Hull fans need to get their head out of the sand, as I said last week, and I'm saying it again now, because them players are going to get rad as a sack. We'll get in the sack this year, but it's going to be nearly all the same players this year than what it is next year. So the pressure is going to be on. And if they don't start the league well, if they are under pressure from the first 6-10 games, because Pearson, he wants that grand final, we know what they've done in the Challenge Cup over the last couple of years, and this year, when they got knocked out of the Challenge Cup, the players believed all the publicity. Oh, you're going to get 2 weeks off. That's what did you last year, the year before, because of the Wembley. Absolute tosh. Them players, Rallis has put his confidence in them. He's put the trust. They're letting him down badly. They are garbage. You Hull fans, get your head out of the sand, because quite simply, they're not good enough to put that black and white jersey on.
Fair dues. Any advance on that?
I'm only being open and honest.
And if I don't disagree.
But I tell you what, mate, if any old fans say I'm wrong, well, I tell you what, take a long, hard look at yourself.
Okay, no worries.
People were worried about David Fifita He Instagrammed, as the young people do. He just Googled himself on the internet, nicked a picture of himself, really bad resolution. Hashtag groin. So, gets him out of playing for a few weeks. Didn't, you know, get a free, got all the way back to Australia. Yeah. Come back.
Interesting that Paulie Paulis has Take Me With You.
Yeah.
Which was quite worrying.
Which was quite interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that. But the fans haven't noticed that because, you know, you've got to stick with the narrative.
Right. Great celebration from Mr. Paulie. After he scored his try this week.
No, I didn't see it. What did he do?
Rubbed his stomach.
Did he?
Yes. Lifted his shirt and rubbed his stomach.
Nah, good stuff. He's scoring plenty of tries, to be fair.
Oh, mate, you can't stop him 10 metres out. Well, have you seen the size of him? He's got to be 6'8", 28 stone.
But then he dropped the ball on the restart and St Helens scored.
Yeah, yeah, but as I say, if I'm not dissing, he's not going to stop him. He's huge, you know. He's got five. He's got, I mean, he must have 5 stone strapping on his right leg. When you see that, I don't know how he moves. To be honest with you, but boy, oh boy, 10 meters out, you're not going to stop him from that sort of distance.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? But I tell you what, as well, talking about that game, Wakefield Saints. Wakefield for the first 30 minutes were the better side.
I heard that.
And when you look at quality, Matt, and what St Helens have got a little bit more than what Wakefield had. Wakefield were in there in St Helens 25-30 meters out 9 times. But the problem for Wakefield at times is they're too predictable with ball in hand. They don't have a lot of variation, so it wasn't too hard for the St Helens defence, you know, to defend again. St Helens, for the last 10 minutes then, they had the ball in Wakefield's 25-30 minutes out 4 times and they've come up with 3 tries. So from being 0-0 after 30 minutes, going into the dressing sheds after 40, the 16-0 down. Just because Saints had a bit more quality and a lot more variation on attack, and Wakefield don't have that.
Yeah, well played, Saints. I'm a bit worried about them. But they've done well.
That's a big result for them.
Massive result.
Huge result.
But and Wakefield, the manner in which they turned it around as well, after that half an hour, they were dominant.
But Wakefield on attack, they need more variation because they're too predictable at times.
Yeah, right. Okay. Cup final. Catalans against Warrington.
Looking forward to this one.
What's going to happen?
I'm looking forward to it. Both sides are in good form. All right, the last couple of weeks, defeats, but you can understand that. Catalans, since the final whistle against St Helens 2 weeks ago, they were preparing for Wembley. There's hoping that there's no injuries. They haven't got any. All right, they got hammered at Warrington, got hammered this week against Wigan. They're not worried about that. They know exactly what they are planning for. Warrington themselves against Cass, you'd say they're competing maybe for about 15 minutes.
Did he go a bit stronger than you'd thought, Price, this weekend?
Not really, mate. No, not really. You know, and against Cass, they're all right for the second 15 minutes of the second half, but then, you know, Cass just put the foot on the gas a little bit, so they took the purpose out of the performance from there. But forget, it doesn't matter what's happened over the last 2 weeks now. This is all about Saturday, and Warrington under Price it again, same as what the Huddersfield players have been. They wanted in a different direction. They wanted a coach who was going to let them play the right way, express themselves. The players will tell you all that. They're a lot happier. The dressing room's a lot happier. But Catalan Dragons, you know, as I've said in my column in the League Express, and I've done that, you know, the points out, are telling each individual, and I just feel as though it's just going to be one with that pack of forwards and that bench what the Catalans have got. And Catalans, they will do. They will play exactly the same way as what they did against St Helens in the semi-final. They will get ripped in defensively. They will be running. They tackle the hardest that anybody else does in Super League. They run the hardest. They run the hardest, hard and straight and direct to the forwards. And on the back of that, you know, the two halfbacks have been lucky to play with good field position and good kicking game. But the creativity is good. Guizzo coming from the fullback. Plenty of pace in the centres and on the wings on there. I'm expecting a quality game on Saturday, and so it should be because it's the Challenge Cup final, it's Wembley, it's our marquee game of the season as far as I'm concerned. But I just feel as though the Catalans, the way they're going to get ripped in, I don't think the Warrington forwards will be able to handle them, which is going to set, you know, for great field position for the two half-backs. And as I said in the column, mate, I'm going Catalans to beat Warrington by 14.
I hope you're right.
I think...
And history's going to be created.
As a narrative, I don't mind which team wins, as long as the best team win, we'll get a showpiece game. But as a narrative, Catalan winning is the story. Mm-hmm. The first time a French team has won a UK domestic competition, 13 years after they were founded, with a team that's got a core of French lads in it as well. I think 8 of the 17 will be French. I think you have to look at the form of the semi-finals. The league games are not an intrusion. As a coach, you'd want to see a level of performance, but you know that the players are focused on the glory of the 80 minutes at the National Stadium. And if both teams play as they did in the semi-finals, I think we'll get a high-scoring game, an attractive game. Not sure what the weather forecast is, but hopefully be a dry track, a fast track. If Catalan can do in the opening 15-20 minutes to the likes of Darrell Clark and Chris Hill and the Warrington pack, what they did to the St Helens pack. They starved the ball from, you know, they clattered James Robey for the entire first 20 minutes of that first half, made him, and he did something like 70 tackles at the end of the game, but a lot of that were in the first 15 minutes to take the steam out of him. They denied Barber the ball, that, you know, if they can do the same to Ratchford, and obviously the back three of Warrington can run the ball back really well if you give them an opportunity. I think it's down to Catalan to dictate the tempo of this game, and if they come out with the intensity that they did in the semi-final, they can win this. And I think that Steve McNamara, who's got a terrible record at Wembley personally, will be saying to his charges, this is the day that you make history, this is the night that we fly back to Perpignan, and when you get off the plane there'll be thousands of people in the airport, you'll never buy another drink again, you will go down on the wall at the Stadio Veritas, your names will
be etched
there.
As long as they drop you off over the channel, yeah.
I think that might be the difference between the two teams, that it's there for this group that represent the Dragons to be the first to win a trophy, and that just could be the defining moment. I think McAlorum is a good bet for Lance Todd, because I think if Catalan do win and they're playing well, he will be the architect behind it.
Mm. Rain, says the Met Office.
Does
it? 50% chance of rain. 17 degrees. Could be like Wigan and Hull.
Oh, that was torrential.
It can't be that bad a game anyway, can it? Oh boy, how bad was that?
Leeds and Warrington 1 year was rain.
How bad? How do you think it'll go, Mark? What do you fancy?
Well, I've backed Catalan. I told you that. I said 2 months ago on this show, I said they'd beat St Helens and I think they'll win the cup. And I hope they do. I mean, I've got friends in the Warrington camp, and I'm just like, Phil, it's just a good game. Best team wins.
Absolutely.
And that's all we want. Yeah. No controversies, no farcical situation.
Do we know the referee yet?
It's Rob
tomorrow.
Hicks. Rob Hicks.
Is it?
It's on the Super League website.
Hicks has got it.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
He's in good form.
Yeah.
He's in good form. Well deserved.
Who's the video ref?
But there's no Sita Akwala. He's out. Grade A dangerous contact.
Would he have been in the 17?
Yes.
Of the big man off the bench?
No, he plays played every week, hasn't he?
Because that might be a blow to...
That is a huge blow, isn't it? Mm. That is a... Oof, savage.
When you're coming up against...
Man, they've lost Bird, haven't they?
Yeah, but they didn't play in the semi, did they?
Yeah, they didn't miss him in the semi-final.
It's the four huge guys that Catalan have got on the bench, and Warrington now have one less to choose from, and it could be bench strength that wins it.
Mm. Yeah, I reckon Burt, the standoff is my choice as the man of steel.
Burt's gonna have a good game.
Yeah, man of steel. No, sorry, Lance Todd.
Yeah. Fair dues. We will see. Rich, what do you think?
Well, I'm trying to find out what the price are for the man of steel, but I'm on a website that's dreadful in a minute. Warrington are favourites, aren't they, as you would expect? Yeah. And
are they getting start, Warrington?
No, Catalan's getting 6 start.
Interesting bet. You're 250-1 to win the Challenge Cup, apparently, which I think I can tell you now is a bad bet. Don't bet on that.
Scully says, will you stick him the tenner on, just in case?
Like Phil, I hope it's an exciting and entertaining game and everyone can watch it, thanks. On the telly, and it's a great one for all the people that are watching. Darrell Clark, favourite for the Lance Todd Trophy. Followed by Drinkwater, Roberts, Brown, Ratchford. Where's McAlorum? 16-1.
Mm. I think that's worth a bet.
Yeah, it's a good bet, that, yeah.
I tell you what,
I know people are saying about Wilford, you know, being the coach of the year. It's got to be McNamara, surely, because before Easter, you know, the two games over Easter, if that would have been a disaster, he would get in the sack. You know, for what he's done since Easter and gone to the Challenge Cup final, you know, even if he doesn't win it, you know, McNamara's surely got to be the coach of the year.
Justin Holbrook.
I'm sure
excellence. His team have been the best team, so he deserves to be the coach of the year.
Not won anything yet, Phil?
No, not yet. Well, neither have Catalan. Yeah.
Video referee, Ben Thaler, and his tan.
So, okay. Yeah, ready to go. Well, you can't leave it at home, Rich, can you?
What's Chris Kendall, Josh, reserve
what's
ref.
Josh Charnley, by the way, for Lance Todd. Odds.
16-1. Don Charnley. We're not trying to fix it.
Those who choose it are not allowed to bet, clearly. But.
Well, obviously. We've never done that.
No, never.
Everyone's now telling us who's fit. Apparently, Darrell Clark's not fit, according to Andy and Sue.
I just can't believe Catalan are over 2-1. It should be at the very worst to pick them.
And they're getting 6 star.
Yeah.
Bookies made Toronto favourites on Saturday.
Oh, mate, just get shovelled on. They'd shuffled on. Yeah.
We digress.
Looking forward to it. The whole
I don't
ticket.
Think we should get fixated about the crowd.
It will be what it will be.
We said it last week that you know it tells us where we are as a sport. It tells us the issues with the Challenge Cup in the date that it is in the calendar. This is the perfect example to say to revitalise this competition, we need to get around the table and decide what works best for everybody. It clearly doesn't at the end of August.
Yeah, I agree with that. The thing is, are we going to learn lessons from this? Because this could happen again, and they've had 3 months to sort this out, and they've made a mess of it. Let's be fair, they've made a mess of it.
Well, I think they knew they'd made a mess of it as soon as the Catalans qualify for the final, when Ralph says, oh, we've got to go to Plan B now.
Yeah.
Like that just tells you everything, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It just made, again, a laughing stock. Well, what do you mean, a Plan B? You're trying to say that this might not happen? It's quite. Yeah. It can happen every year because they're in the draw every year.
Has anyone invited you to go watch history and see if Catalan can win the first ever Challenge Cup final? Be a part of history, along and see what happens.
You know, Catalans, because they're in the draw every year, they could get there every year.
But this is the Challenge Cup, irrespective of who gets in the final.
Correct.
We should want, as rugby league people, as all the people that will be saying, what's the crowd going to be like?
Correct.
Pick up a cheap ticket and go, and then the crowd will be a good one.
Absolutely.
I think we should also praise the Dragons, who've worked tirelessly at the worst time of the year. For people have already booked their holidays in France. Most of August, France shuts down. They are saying that they're hopefully bringing 3,000 fans, which I think is phenomenal in 2.5 weeks' notice.
Good effort.
When it's the most expensive time of the year for travel, it's difficult to get there. I know that a lot of work's been done to put people who are buying tickets late or being offered the chance to be there in the Catalan end to balance out the Warrington end, but it's two great colours. There'll be a great contrast. It should be a great game. Why wouldn't you want to go?
As Andy points out here, 18 full days between the semi and the final isn't long enough, and that's true. You know, I have to give my dates elsewhere when I'm available to work, and I deliberately take the day off.
I think we're missing something here, though, that Gary will tell you that when you got to the cup final and it was in May, a serious proportion of the ground were young people. School kids, trips that are being run from various places. If you have it in August, you cannot get kids there because either they're on holiday or you can't do it through their schools.
Mm.
So that's another thing that we need to sit down with the blank sheet of paper saying, you know, Cup's still one of the most valuable possessions we've got. It's got all the history. It's the venue that every player wants to play at. Yeah, the grand final, great. No problem. One of the great successes of the modern era, selling out grand finals. Who would have thought that when it started in 98? But put some distance between them and allow kids to go. If you've got foundations now at most clubs, they can go into deprived communities, they can go into schools, they can run promotions. If every club took 1,000 kids that's in Super League, you're not going to be worrying about what the attendance is going
to
be.
I don't want to. I've come close to the microphone so I can whisper this. But in 1994 and 1995, on our school trips, when we stopped at Leicester Forest to get some pop with all the people that sell scarves, I bought a Leeds one. I wanted Leeds to win.
What? Hold on.
Yeah, we all
he works for the BBC and now he supports Leeds.
We all hated Wigan.
No!
Yeah, but we all
no!
It was Yorkshire,
we all
though,
Wigan.
Wasn't it?
Yorkshire.
We've still got the scarf,
In fairness, when I was there, when Sheffield did play Wigan, we were all supporting Sheffield.
I mean, I don't want them to win now.
Although, not, I think there was a guy on our bus had £100 on Sheffield, and I just remember...
I hope he bought the beer on the way back.
He was sat on the bus on the way back, and he never said a word. I think he could believe it.
Were they about 33-1 that day?
Oh, no, I don't think they were that big, but they were
I don't think they were quite that big.
They were a big prat, and he was just sat there. You could see him, but it was like, wow. It was great to be there. We were sat with a lot of Wigan fans.
And who did you
probably
go with?
Probably spoilt there.
Who did you go with, a local club?
Yeah, we used to have a bus trip. We used to go on a bus trip.
So all of that needs reinstituting, and you can't do it on the last bank holiday weekend of the year when most people are away.
Well, back in them days as well, everybody just used to rebook straight away, didn't they?
Yeah.
You know, everybody said, right, we're back in it. It doesn't matter who's here.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You're not bothered, are you? Because it's the occasion for rugby league.
And that's what we need to bring back. We used to have real personalities presenting the cup as well.
Oh, yeah. What's wrong with Andy Burnham? He's the president of the RFL and the mayor of Greater Manchester, I don't know.
So we're giving it to ourselves. Well done, us.
I had a
Well, I got an Olympian to give us it, or but, you know, like Mo Farah.
On the way down to London,
one of the things while we were sat in the 50-mile-an-hour zone, we went through about 25 people that could present the cup if you gave them enough notice. Starting with film stars, going through sports stars from other sports that will give you profile, but you need to arrange it a year in advance.
If you are going to go.
Oh, we've been turned down by Neil Fox. Andy, you know you're coming anyway. Yeah. Could you give the cup away? Oh, and that bloke from Australia who's doing the halftime entertainment, he can do it as well because people have heard of him.
Yeah. It's not... I don't want to go down this route because it's a route you go down then you have to do it almost every year. But as we've obviously got no one to do it and haven't thought about this until the last minute and obviously didn't bank on anyone turning it down, what about the family of Evan Hawksworth who are walking down to Wembley to raise money for charity? Why not let them present the cup? Because at least then people can buy into that, can't they, and go, you know, they're doing a good thing.
Yeah.
Rather than just...
It's a fair point.
And again, it's no knocking Andy Burnham, but it's a politician, and politicians, they're all... I had a letter from mine today, a leaflet through the door.
What did he say? We're going to build you a new ground, mate.
Take my vote.
Fill this box, any concerns? Where's my stadium? 2, where's my stadium? 3, bring everyone to account about where's my stadium. Went past Castleford's new ground yesterday. Looks very nice, flat, nothing built on it, but it's there. Got a sign outside. The ghost of Richard Wright on a digger. For all the people moaning about Toronto Stadium.
I played golf at Normanton a couple of months ago, and I saw that big building they've built on the site.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like, how the hell did they get that pass?
No, that doesn't exist. That doesn't count. Doesn't count.
It's like that's the world's part, biggest sight screen in cricket. Yeah. No, it's like, who on earth got that pass without
what
building
is it anyway?
The ground?
What is it?
It's a fridge.
Is it a fridge?
It's a fridge, yeah.
What do you mean? What for?
It's a distribution for white goods.
Food. Oh, I don't know. Whatever.
For what?
Fridges and... freezers.
Get the boys from Belal down, they'll have a look. See,
it's not a stadium, that's what we do know. Boss says Chris Evans. No, because he's from like Warrington. You have to get someone French as well.
Maureen says I've been facetious.
About what?
Well, I don't know what. Come on, Maureen, what? Yeah. What have I been rude
about?
More
than normal.
I don't know. It's a bit hard. What do you think this programme is? Alan's been on. He said, thanks for yesterday's stream. He really enjoyed it. It's a shame that all games aren't available to watch. That is something I would happily pay for.
There you go. Well, after this show, can I tell you?
Oh, yes.
You can watch St Helens against Wigan from the Women's Super League yesterday.
Wow.
I went to that game. It is on Facebook. I think you'll have to stop this stream and start a new one. But it is on the... And I tell you what...
Two of the top three?
Yeah. Wigan, who beat Leeds last week, went to St Helens.
Don't spoil it for those that don't know.
For those that are recording the game... it was a good game.
It was a great bit we can see.
I'll tell you what, Wigan have got a back rower. She's the female equivalent of John Bateman. She's not very big, but I'll tell you what, she can half tackle and run. Yeah. Honestly, it was a good game, and considering both teams had a couple of key players missing, very great atmosphere at the ground as well, by the way.
Roughly how many people?
Maybe 200 or 300.
That's good. It's good.
But what I liked about yesterday, and this is what we mean about sport. Kids, like your granddaughter Olivia there, down watching the girls playing, had a rugby ball, kicking the ball around. They all had the Wigan and Saints top. Might have been a couple of Warrington fans there. They were all watching, kicking around, playing, scratch on the knee, muck on the face, playing out even though it was raining. You think, yeah, their kids getting a proper grounding in life.
We can't miss the boat on this.
It was good. And you think, you know what, I'm there thinking... These two are going to play again in the playoffs. What's that going to... Or could meet in the playoffs. What's that going to be like? The playoffs are going to be great. Really good. We will have the rest of the Women's Super League on. It'll be on live, hopefully. But yesterday we had the Bulls on. We couldn't do two at once, so it'll be on after this. Watch it. Worth it. I'll tell you what, some of the tackles...
You'll be being facetious about the cast ground. That was probably more me than...
I didn't say anything! Yeah. Maureen, I demand an apology. I did not say anything about the cast ground.
It's Wakefield's ground, but neither are getting built anytime soon, are they? Stop kidding yourselves. Where is it? It's not being built. There's no work on it. It doesn't exist. It's like Pyongyang Pylon.
There's been a...
Let's get a poll out. What will come first, the Pyongyang Pylons or a new ground in West Yorkshire?
There's nothing in Cass, there's nothing in Wakefield. And that's down to a useless council. I think I can say that without going further.
Yeah.
People who should present the cup, me, Michael Parkinson, Stuart Pearce. Michael Parkinson loves his rugby league, says Andy. When was the last time you saw Michael Parkinson at a rugby league game?
former vice president of Wakefield, by the way, Michael Parkinson.
Yeah, was
along
that
with Richard Harris?
Yeah, I was going to say, was that after the
yeah, he'll be there.
The
sure, Pierce, he'll be there. He'll be in the Royal Box with the chairman. What's his name? Steve. Steve, what they call him?
Get Russell Crowe to present it, or Hugh Jackman, and you're guaranteed.
Who's Hugh Jackman? What's he in?
He's in that Greatest Showman.
Aussie actor.
Don't know him. Why do we want an Aussie presenting Challenge Cup?
Because it'll get us the column inches
that we're desperate.
Because he's a big rugby league fan. And he knows the game. And it's a different branch endorsing rugby league.
Hmm.
Lee Westwood.
Yeah, or a Premier League footballer.
Sir Alex Ferguson.
Maureen, you are right. There are notices on all those posts around that land saying Castlewood Tigers. They say lots of other things as well. Nothing is being built there.
Yeah. Until Thank you built. For your apology,
and
Maureen.
I say this about Wakefield's ground, and I said it at the time Newmarket came out. Until it's built, until I'm sat there, don't believe it.
No.
Because there's been too many of them. Hence the reference to Richard Wright sat on a digger. When did that get built?
Diggerland.
Yeah, it's not been built.
Did they still sponsor Cats? Diggerland?
Yeah, of course they did. Yeah.
They're not being built. The woolly's being pulled over everyone's eyes.
Yeah, but Diggerland, Phil, it's a theme park. They don't dig holes. It's a theme park.
No, that's what he was saying.
They have all the diggers, but
he was sat on one of their diggers.
It's for people to go driving around in.
Let's move on. Think some ancient history.
Ask Steve Gill how the cast ground's going when you see him.
Do you think Steve will be interested?
I think he'll tell you that.
Here's David. Throwing a big grenade in.
Not on David.
Excellent.
I've got the numbers here so I can back up his point. West Wales, who have yet to win a game ever in their history. Just imagine when they do.
They're dancing in the streets of Clonethley.
We play them in a couple of weeks. I hope it's not against us.
Why aren't they called Clonethley anyway? Not Lions, because they're Swindon. Had the same crowd anyway. As Swindon and Rochdale this weekend, so expansionism in a lower league without the win equals the same crowds as traditional teams 100 years on. Now, in fairness, West Wales got 409, Swindon got 420, and Rochdale 586. There's a slight difference, but I can see David's point there.
Why is Alan Killshaw leaving Rochdale, by the way? Where's he going?
I suspect he's going somewhere else.
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
749 at Newcastle for a big win over Oldham. Big win for them. James says, Salford's new owners want to buy the ground, the surrounding part of the stadium, with IKEA going to be next to the stadium, so good news on the cards, not for people driving there. IKEA and Rugby Little One. Just IKEA.
It's good news for the stability of the business, but is it going to get more people there?
You can't
buy fans. Wasn't Dr. Kukash going to buy the ground and build a golf course and a hotel and a...
M62,
a golf course?
We can't.
And a horse racing
stable. You have to stand on one side and hit it over Barton Bridge to get on the green.
Where's we put the golf course on M62?
He was going to build a racetrack.
He was going to build stables. And
yeah.
Where?
I remember
near the Salford ground.
But what we need, on the land behind. What we need is more fantasies who don't actually do what they're saying, because they might have money. People in our sport are just idiots.
What crowd did Salford have this week? We win this. How many were there?
2,300.
There weren't that many there.
2,317.
Yeah, there weren't that many there.
Maybe those people in Toronto weren't there either.
Rather than buying the ground, are they going to buy Jackson Hastings?
Don't know.
Got that $8,500 anyway, can use that. Yorkshire Pros has sent us a tweet. His mate, Keith, is going to his 40th consecutive Challenge Cup final this weekend. Can any listeners top that?
And I bet he wasn't bothered about who was playing in it either.
Well, he said, yet to see Trinity lift it, though. Gutted.
No. Well, yeah. There's always next year. 40-20 picks. Enjoyed a Bradford-Workington match. But how biased are the commentators? Isn't one of players' dad. Well, he's Bulls Live.
Yeah, it's called Bulls Live. That might give it away. I get your point, though. But, you know. Well, you watched it.
Yeah. Scoey could present it, says Robert. It will be the closest score he got to winning anything. Well, we've got the Challenge Cup here. It's in the studio, look.
Can't blow it up.
Special guest in the studio today.
Hold on.
Well, Carnegie ribbons on it.
How many times do you think I've heard that?
You'll see, the BBC will do a programme this week. They'll have the Challenge Cup there next to Dave Woods. We've got an inflatable one that doesn't work.
Who's that from? Is it from a witness fan?
No, I think Robert's a Leeds fan, I think.
That's a bit harsh.
Very harsh. Very harsh.
He's also an Everton fan, so he's used
1994, you could have won it.
The difference was
the bench strength.
Yeah,
they were on two internationals. You had Mike O'Neill and Marcus Vasilakopoulos.
There you go. rest is history.
Sam Panapa came off the bench and scored the crucial try.
Did he? Thanks for reminding me, Phil.
You scored at Wembley.
Yeah, I know.
It's a good performed well 94.
With that silly head guard on. Remember that silly head guard he used to wear.
Didn't Vasa Coppola score and win the cup with Sheffield, or was that my imagination?
Yeah, he was part of the squad. Yeah, he did play as part of the squad.
Didn't he also get a payment from Sky that you didn't get?
Yeah. 400.
And the whole Wigan team. Well, in Wigan, 95.
Yeah, the whole Wigan team, yeah. All the Wigan players. Morris, all of a sudden, I see about £1,000 in my bank. Just keep quiet about it, be all right.
Loyalty payment.
Every single Wigan player. Even 18 players. why have I got this 25 grand in my bank account? Just keep quiet about it, you'll be all right.
You have to do some adverts or something like Johnny Lomax. I can't move without seeing Johnny Lomax in adverts these days. And Mike McMeekin. Stephen will be at his 39th Challenge Cup final in a row.
Well, next
year when it's in Toronto, Stephen, you know, we wish you all the best. Alex says, I never thought the New York ground would ever happen, but I'll be eating my words next time when it opens. Yeah, but I've seen it. They're building it.
Yeah, it's there.
It's actually
there.
It's
there, Alex.
There's bits of steel.
You can go look. It's nearly finished.
What is that?
York. New ground.
All right.
And York City have plummeted. So I think York City Knights, if they get promoted, will be primary tenants.
Mm.
1,500 nearly there yesterday to watch York against Hunslet.
Yeah. Tell you what, he's a good coach, he's young 40, you know, and I know he's signed a full-time contract
he
there now.
He could join the Leeds coach.
He'll be in Super League, mark my words, in the next 2 years, without a shadow of a doubt.
All right, good.
He will. And I reckon, do you know where he'll be? Because Daryl Powell will be moving on, I reckon, in 2 years' time. He'll be at Castleford.
Where's Daryl going?
I don't know. But 2 years' time...
Because he's going to have to elbow Chris Chester out.
Powley, I would imagine he'd say, in 2 years' time, I've had my login. Absolutely. And then James Ford will be the next Castleford coach, you mark my words, in 2 years' time, when Daryl gets
a senior
job. Do you let
the people that you know whose lives you actually organise, do you tell them what your grand plan is?
They'll agree when they hear me, don't worry about that.
It's like the new Maurice Lindsay.
Yeah. Richie, take that back, son.
One of our new T-shirts is going to be the colder T-shirt. We're putting that together. So do go out and buy
How many T-shirts am I on?
No, you're not on that one.
Oh, thanks.
Where's my stadium?
Get one in cast colours as well. Jonathan's asked who our early favourite is from Man of Steel. We spoke about this earlier. Paul McShane. Well, Ben Barber.
Why are you gone then? Quick one. Who would you give? Come on, just quick answer. Who do you think?
The Wakefield Centre.
Bill Tupou.
Bill Tupou for me.
He's not
what?
Though,
Man of Steel?
Yeah.
James Robey at the moment. Now, Saints go on and win the grand final, James. Well, I know it's the week before is Man of Steel, but if they pick up the League Leaders' Shield in the next couple of weeks and get to the grand final, Robey, I think.
Richard?
I hope we get to see the votes again to see if there's any more Bofaloon style votes from the Coltrane. It probably will be James Robey, won't it? Bill Tupou won't win because he's from...
Don't think they'll give it to Barber. I don't think they'll give it because he's going.
There's
no reason to.
For 8 weeks, he's been very, very ordinary.
If they give it to Robey, could you complain? You just can't, can you?
I was speaking to Justin Orbit before the game as well on Friday. I went, Justin, you've let
me
down.
Where were you speaking to him? When you were getting your chips?
At the Wakefield game. And
you don't like leaning over the balcony where you're spitting chips everywhere.
I was speaking to him.
Justin, come here.
Yeah, I was speaking to him and Mike Rush as they were walking, you know, where the checks were down. I went, Justin, you've let me down and I tipped you I get the trouble. He went, oh, well, that was your fault, wasn't it?
Well, we did tell him, in fairness, when he was right happy that you tipped him, we did say... That is the kiss of death. You do know that, don't you? And he looked at us as though we were stupid. Well, he ain't looking at us as though we're stupid now, is he?
Mm. I forgot we are making a Sir Rodney Walker Megadome T-shirt as well.
All right, OK.
Yeah, Sir Rodney's all right. Don't worry about that. He's all right, Sir Rodney.
How's his Megadome? All right.
Yeah. Well, what are you on about there?
Yeah. The stadium that he was going to get built, that hasn't been built.
All right, okay.
Here's my list of companies
I thought he would build it for snooker. Why don't you chair for snooker?
Ask World Snooker how good a job Sir Rodney Walker did, yeah. Yeah, ask them that.
Is it swimming now?
Oh, God knows.
Damien said, is Scoy the new coach of the Pyongyang Pylons? Scoy doesn't know. We're actually sending him out on a fact-finding mission.
Yeah.
What we're going to do is plant loads of like cameras and covert recording devices on him, and hopefully we'll see him sometime in about 2087.
It's a shame Boris isn't the Foreign Secretary anymore because we'd never see him again, though. He'd never get him back out. A bit of politics for you there.
He's all right. Boris is all right. Leave him alone.
Robert's accusing you of getting an extra chip butty on Thursday, which again is Matt Shaw.
No.
Yeah. I mean, that's BBC creating a picture.
Again, it's absolute propaganda. Rubbish, because I ripped it to Matt Shaw and I said, listen, get your facts right. So let me just say this now. Our great work colleague, Craig Murdoch, came in, travelled over from Hull. So he got the gear, you know what, took over for him from yourself. So he said, oh, I'll just go get all set up scores. So I said, right, do you want a chip boy? By the way, the one he wants chip boys, it was just chips, no bread cakes at Wakefield last week. Michael, not good enough, son, no bread cakes. Anyway, so I said to Craig, Craig, you want some chips? He went, yeah, I've had nothing to eat, Scoey. So I got two plates of chips, had me horn, had Craig Murdoch's there. So what I did, I said,
What about those you put in your pocket, though? Who were they for?
Just pocket.
Were they for Peter Smith?
Yeah, that don't count, does it? I'll get it for Phil Cap and you'll feel one coming. Anyway, so I said to Matt Shaw, I said, look here now, get a picture of this and you know the facts. This is mine, which I'm going to be eating now, and this is for Craig Murdoch. You know he's going to get set up, and he's coming back for it, and he did exactly that. So there we go. That's the two facts.
This is why we only read 40/20 magazine and not Rugby League World. Fake news, propaganda.
Yeah, but yeah, no, and no bread cakes. Shocking. Absolute shocking, Michael.
Well, hopefully you had some winners at the races yesterday, and you know, you might be able to afford some.
Did you go to racing?
I did.
Did you enjoy it?
It was all right.
Courtesy of...
Well, I paid.
Where was that at?
For Pontefract.
All right.
For the people who moan, oh, you don't pay to go anywhere. I paid. I did ask first if I'd get any freebies, and Sam said we didn't have any. So I paid. And it was good. Yeah. Stayed dry. Had no winners whatsoever.
Move on.
But, you know, what can you do?
Say anybody there that you knew?
Anybody present the Challenge Cup?
Was I supposed to have seen someone there that I knew? Or, saw a cast fan who, you know, said give it to them. Did amusingly say... Because I said, oh, it'd be great to see him go down, wouldn't it? And he said, no, not really. Because they bring lots of fans and stuff.
There you go.
See, he'll go down, Leeds.
Yeah.
Leeds aren't going down.
Well, no, they're not.
Well, why are you saying it then?
There's more chance of us going through
the car. Why do you two keep harping on about it?
I never mention it.
When Leeds beat Hull Car, when Leeds beat Hull Car in 2 weeks' time, I'll tell you what, I'm ripping into you, Mr. Wilson. I am ripping in. Give me half an hour to buy myself.
When is it?
I'm ripping it.
2 weeks tonight. 2 weeks tonight, we're going.
First of September.
2 weeks tonight, we're going.
Yeah. I'm going. I'm going. Yeah.
Get me a big plate.
Are you going to the game?
And a shovel.
Are you going to the game?
I don't know.
I'm going to the game. I'm taking the Keeberry down. It's a couple of others, so...
All right, freebies. Yeah, you go, Zenny.
We're having a bit of hospitality, so... I'll save a little bit for my Indian off you. All right.
I should say, I don't think of all the commentators on Rugby League I've heard in the past few years that Mick Gleddell and John Keys are necessarily the most biased on the radio.
No.
Mick Gleddell being biased.
Wasn't Craig Harrison part of the commentary team as well?
Was he?
I think, yes.
Martin, no, I wasn't happy with some of the clientele there, because it's a family day and there's people swearing because they can't handle their Strongbow dart fruits. But the people are morons, aren't they? So it's not just Rugby League that has an element.
Didn't you step in and smack him?
Nah, stayed quiet, didn't I?
No.
Wasn't Mr. Carter there in the executive suite dropping you down bits of sandwich from the balcony?
Michael throwing cans at him from the...
I bet Mr. Carter had some bread cakes of his food. not good enough, Mr. Carter.
I think when you pay £50 a head, you are entitled to some bread.
Are you?
What do you pay at Wakey?
Andy and Sue.
What do you pay at Wakey?
Yeah, but I don't mourn and don't get any bread, do I?
Cass want the rhinos to say, says Andy and Sue. It's their easy 6 points a season.
Hey!
Oh, could have been eight, but they're in the bottom four. Andrew's asked us, do we think Halifax will get a game on Sky? No idea.
No.
Well, they haven't picked rounds 5, 6 and 7 yet, have they? So they could.
I doubt it.
But you don't want to be on telly because you get less people turning up.
By the way, I've got a bet with Matt Shaw, Leeds in Halifax.
Oh, yeah, you have.
Yeah, yeah. And he's got 16 start Halifax. So that's another Indian for me, Matt Shaw. Yeah.
You were a bit worried, though, when you made that bet, weren't
no,
you?
Wasn't.
Now Leeds have won a couple, you're getting a bit bullish.
I'm full of confidence, Leeds.
We're two on the
bounce. I know what I'm talking about. Yeah,
there's dominating the championship.
By the way, I predicted
just
Leeds.
Just think how easy
it'll
be in the
championship. Leeds to beat London on the Twitter.
Not on here.
You said to lose by 7 Kaplan's, in London.
Hold on, Kaplan. We're on the same side. Come on. We're on the same side.
In fact, Sco, you actually had a shocker last week.
I didn't.
You picked Toronto and you picked London.
I picked Oakley
on this show. You did. you've had a shock. The only one I got wrong was Wakefield this week.
Peter's pointed out the Leeds Salford game will be a dead rubber. Is there any players, great players who play for Leeds and Salford apart from Joel Moon? That can name a trophy.
Well, the Joel Moon Trophy.
Yeah. Spurious, the spurious name trophy.
Be nice for him as he goes back.
Yeah.
He's in good form at the moment. 5 tries in 2 games. It's almost now that he knows his future.
Do you know why, Phil? Do you know why,
Phil? He needs a contract somewhere. Yeah, but do you know why, Phil?
Because he's playing in his best position in the centre.
Yeah,
because
so
Carl Ablett's stand-off.
No great leads.
No,
I'm joking. Just wait for some more spurious trophies. We don't have enough of those. Where is the Beveridgeman trophy? Is that still in the cupboard at Leeds somewhere?
Well, as long as the cupboard hasn't been demolished, yeah, for the new stand. In pieces at the bottom.
Is that a time capsule underneath? Didn't think about building a time capsule, maybe hiding... You know,
the David Young trophy.
There you go.
David Young trophy, what for?
Played for Leeds and Salford. Mark like, Brooke County.
Next time Leeds it's play like,
I don't know what would be worse. The John Gallagher trophy, the Eddie Rumble trophy, or the Di Young trophy.
He's just said next time they draw Dewsbury in the cup, they should play for the Eddie Rumble
trophy.
Yeah, play one. Yeah, London should have been the John Gallagher trophy. I don't know which would be worse.
Mark Brooke County, any good?
No.
We talk about marketing. We talk about marketing. I got 3 big boxes of programmes last week, and there's a lot of Dewsbury programmes in there from 1992-93. They're in the third division. They're playing all their games at Mount Pleasant in Batley, because obviously they're building the new ground. How do you sell these fixtures to the people? Scarborough Pirates, Trafford Borough.
Exotic, it was only one season.
Right. Trafford Borough.
They will change the name probably the following week.
Trafford Borough's, I nearly said a swear word there, but it would have been in context, offspring, Chorley Borough. Highfield, Nottingham City. I'm surprised, you know, but probably got bigger crowds than they get these days, but 1992 there, everybody.
Where's your picture anyway? Fox here myself, Rich. Where's your picture?
It's here.
All right. Are we giving it away?
You know what? Well, Neil Fox looks younger than you on that picture. Have you been on the sauce for about 3 weeks there? You look rough as you do look a bit ropey there, Ledge. Your hair's a bit long, your glasses look a bit wonky.
Your
Primarni suit looks well, I'll give you that.
I'd had a few shirts before with David.
I'm not being rude. You look like you'd had a few more than a few. Looking well, isn't he, Neil, to be fair?
Oh, mate, he still looks like a good player, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Eh?
He does.
No, I've just got a message for you lads as well. I've just got a message through, I should say. The lads who are doing the walk for Java, for Evan, I've just got a message through. The feet are aching, they're totally enjoying it, and I can't wait to meet everybody down at Wembley. So keep going, Java and Evan and all the family, and hopefully they'll raise plenty of money. Well done, boys, keep going.
Good stuff.
It's hard work, but keep going.
It is.
Alex Astor's
You'd make a good leader, wouldn't you, Scoy? Sat in the van. Yeah. Come on, lads, keep going.
I'm like, no.
It's coming up the pace. The chip shop shuts at half seven. Can you speed up, lads?
I'm like that Sky advert, aren't I? I'd be like Jeff Stelling. You three would be pushing me on sofa, and I'd be like, keep going, lads.
It's like the anti-Ian Botham.
Yeah. But what would be pushing you would be the top of Flamber Head.
That's a bit harsh, isn't it? You want to send me off to Korea? You want to sling me down Flamber Head? Where else do you want to sling me?
Alex has asked us, do we know where Gareth Hawk's going?
Do we care?
Toronto.
He won't be going to Toronto.
So why have Feverson released him? Because financial reasons?
Because they missed out on the
top
four.
In the middle of September, they're making a statement about what's happening to the club.
It's almost like promotion and relegation in any form encourages boom and bust.
Right.
It does.
Right.
Funny that. And, history tells you, but you don't learn from history.
And that, you know...
You know what the most annoying thing was? I think the Championship, when there was no promotion, got so much better. But now look at it. You know, you've got to look at that seriously next year, which teams are going to be in it and who's going to be challenging at the top.
I think common sense has got to prevail, mate, hasn't it? That's what's got to happen.
But the last thing we need is rushing into a decision for expediency to go back to a format that didn't work with loop fixtures. Let's be honest, let's have 24 rounds maximum. Building some international windows.
Yeah.
Have a proper Challenge Cup.
Fair enough.
Because at the moment, one team's going to win the Challenge Cup having played 4 games. Which, again, you're talking about devaluing the cup. You know, seeding it to the point where clubs come in late. I know, we've been through it all before, but the whole thing needs looking at, not just, we've decided it's going to be one up, one down, and everybody can have a bit more money, so Championship will be more even next year. Great, but we bought the eights in because we wanted the team that came up from the Championship to be on as near a level field as possible with a Super League team. Whatever changes are made now will destroy that.
Well, it's like what you've seen in the league, especially what Chalmers has said, you know, two up, two down. What do you think of all his ideas?
You need people. You need more people playing the game, more quality coming into the game.
Because
he wants to go to 14. Why did we go from 14 to 12?
Because not enough
we
quality.
We didn't have enough players.
Correct.
And you've said as well about guys will get recycled from teams that get relegated.
Yeah.
They'll get more money for keeping a career going at a higher level than the standard permits.
It's always great fun to see who Wakefield were going to sign from the team going down every year. Always great fun.
Was indeed.
But, you know, we can't have promotion relegation because it involves stress to the players because they might lose their livelihoods. So we can't have the £1 million game. We can't have one up, one down. We can't have anything. What about the stress? The team who are losing the final on Saturday, isn't that an issue because they've lost on the biggest stage possible, on telly, in front of thousands of people?
Well, it'd be like skill sports day where they just all go and get a medal and just pass it
finishes
to each
nil
other.
Nil.
There are winners.
Oh, it should
losers.
Be like mine. I got a winners medal.
And the losers.
There are winners and losers.
That's what sports is all about, isn't it?
Who's going to win the Challenge Cup final?
The Challenge Cup final, and I say the beast. What I've done in the League Express, it's Catalans by 14. I just feel as though, as I said earlier, the forwards, the bench, too big, too strong, too smart, too quick. Catalans by 14.
Phil?
Dragons, but not by 14. I think it'd be closer than that. But I think it's the forwards that they can bring off the bench.
The
intensity never lessens. So at the 20-minute mark, you normally see a team just take a bit of a breather. It drops back. And then they build up again when the starting props go back on again. That doesn't happen with the Dragons. They have got this rotation off to a tee. The other outside bet for Lance Todd.
Hold on, we'll come to that in a minute. Dragons.
For some reason, and I don't know why, my popular pick, I'm going to go for the draw. I think it might be a draw after 8 minutes for the first time since 82.
I just can't wait for Tyrone Roberts to drop a goal. Having had about 300 times to do it and never done it. He's going to do it in the cup final, isn't he? I've got to go Dragons. I put them up a while ago. Dragons for me. Who's going to get the first try, Ledge?
First try. Found it. Is it Yaha, is it?
Yaha.
Yaha for me, yeah. Crossfield, kick, drink water, Yaha.
David Mead.
Josh Charnley.
I'm going to go for Garcia.
I think the Catalan to win, they score first.
Yeah. Lance Todd, man of the match, then.
What's the halfback six called?
Lange.
Sammy Sony Lange.
Yeah, Bert Lange. Yeah.
Don't put that on your betting slip, they won't pay out.
I'm going to go for McAloran, but as an outside bet, if it's close, when he comes off the bench, Kenny Edwards.
As long as you don't throw the ball into the crowd.
Got away with it.
Like people thought he did it deliberately. I don't know.
Pick someone out. Targeted. Got his catapult.
Jill said Tony Gigo. I'm going to go for Tony Gigo.
Gigo. You're the other people's voice.
Yeah, I can't think. So many options. Not that year when Sam Tompkins was odds on. Who won it that year? Forward for Wigan.
Joel Tompkins.
Lima. Jeff
Lima.
Lima,
yeah, the prop won it, didn't he?
Sam Tompkins was 8-11 to win the Lance Todd and Lima won
Jeff,
it.
Who's Lance Todd Lima?
Famous. I am going to go for... I was going to go Guijo. I am going to go instead...
Bear in mind that voting takes place at least 10 minutes before the end of the game, so it won't be someone who has a match-winning contribution, clearly.
It won't be the guy that drops a winning goal.
No.
On a bit of paper, and it's shown on another bit of paper.
Yeah.
People don't realise how
I think we should be held accountable and our vote should go on the big screen. Everybody, because there's how many people vote? About 37?
I've got to vote ridiculously. Yes, people. That's how bad it is.
I don't know. I want to go for like a forward, but I can't.
The forward's going to win it. It's going to be dominant.
Remy Casty.
Will he play enough minutes?
That name's been brought up by Peter.
Yeah,
Casty. I'll go Casty then.
And he speaks English as well. Which would be good.
Peter can have my vote. Yeah.
So does Jason Bastier.
Those two at least. Drink water, a popular pick.
Sam Lowis. He's in really good form at the moment.
Don't do enough minutes.
Looking forward to it.
Yes.
I think the closer we get, everyone's going to be very excited and hopefully come 5 o'clock or 5:30, depending on election time.
We're on a national broadcaster at a prime time There'll be a lot of ancillary programmes around it. They're showing the documentary of the water splash in the lead-up to it, which, if you haven't seen it, is almost, if not as good as the Codebreakers one. Very different, but well worth watching. The people watching that, they don't know anything about it, they'll be roaring.
Just watch that bit where they take Don Fox back to Wembley.
You see, also as well.
We're front and centre. We want an event.
Well, exactly, Phil. Also, as well, on Saturday, all the people who are going, doesn't matter how many people are there, hopefully you're going to see history. So celebrate the history. Mm. Whether you're a Catalans fan or not, celebrate the history. Just to say, because you were there on a great rugby league occasion. The occasion is the biggest cup competition in the world, which is the Challenge Cup final. It's at Wembley, the National Stadium, and celebrate this great occasion if it happens.
It's almost like New Zealand Warriors winning the NRL Grand Final.
Yeah. So celebrate.
And what was it? Cardiff City won the FA Cup. Was it 1929 or
something like, 29,
early 20s? First time and only time that the FA Cup has been out of England. If you're there, you are part of all of that.
I agree. Let's celebrate it. It is. It'll be a great achievement.
It will be astonishing.
Not just for the players of McNamara, where he's brought them players from Easter time and whatever. The chairman stuck by McNamara, believed in Steve, they're moving the way forward. Great occasion.
And I say again, the core of that Catalan team is French, which is something we should celebrate. Of course they've got adornments, but, you know, if Tony Gigo is man of the match, he's one of the best French talents we've got at the moment.
Fair dues. Four apologies from us next week, says Andy, who's a Warrington fan.
I said draw.
Fine.
I said draw, Andy.
Yeah, Catalan to win in extra time.
I don't think we should underestimate Warrington, who've been to Wembley a lot of occasions in the recent past. They've got some proven winners, but the narrative for this final, for rugby league in the state that it's in at the moment, it wouldn't do us any harm if the Dragons won it.
I'm slightly concerned our trophy over there is slightly better than the Women's Challenge Cup is.
Take that for the Women's Challenge Cup.
Seamlessly.
At least it's a Challenge Cup, isn't it?
Wigan Saints, or Saints Wigan, as it is, live on Proper, being watching it on Proper Sport after the show. Make sure you have a look at that.
Who's going to win between Scholars and Keighley, though? We haven't done the other game.
Yes, go on then. Ledge?
I have no idea. I'm just saying it's your chance to put forward Keighley.
Yeah, Keighley, let's say they're getting some bodies back. Good win last week against Newcastle. So, yeah, the Scholars, I was impressed when they came to our place.
Are all the lads going to the cup final?
Yeah, they are. Yeah,
they're staying over.
Yeah, so they're staying over. They're going to the game as well. And but the Scholars.
So that's 50 going then.
They get ripped in, you know, the Scholars players. So they'll be pretty tough, but I think we've just got a little bit more quality.
You're busy, though, aren't you?
I've got a big function with the army here in Marble Arch.
Is that discussing the Pyongyang takeover?
I think they
see. That's what they've got you down there for. Come in this back room here.
Yeah, mate, don't get like them. So, yeah,
have a smell of this handkerchief.
Keighley by 10.
Mm. If anybody going down to London early on the Friday, there is a ceremony at 11 o'clock at the Cenotaph where Rugby League will honour the fallen.
Very good.
And we don't know if they're going to play both national anthems. No one knows.
Oh, well, are they going to play the Catalonian or the French?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point. Mm. I think
they should have the old
bloke. The RFL will play the German one.
The old bloke who sings the Catalonian national anthem before home
games.
You know why, don't you?
Because that's the RFL's plan B.
Because Germany are playing in a World Cup game at the same time.
RFL's plan B. Good luck. Hopefully, if you go and you have a great time. And we will be back on Monday to pick the bones out of it. Thanks to the lads. Have a safe trip to Pyongyang.
Looking forward to it. Pleasure. Thank you as always.
Kim Jong-un's with us.
Get saving up because I'm going to stuff you next week.
Do you know what? The way that you're saying that, the way that Richard Shaw Wright is looking at me as well. you two have been serious. He's sending me abroad. He's sending me Korea.
Well, I didn't want to say. Thanks to Richard.
Don't pack a case.
Thanks to Phil as ever. Don't forget, you can watch, if you stop the free restart, you can watch the Women's Super League game yesterday. Well worth a watch. Great game. Saints against Wigan on Proper Sport. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your Challenge Cup. We'll be back next week.